It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. We've got Miriam Dwar from Engadget. We've got Matthew Ingram from GigaOm, the John C. Dvorak. We'll talk about Microsoft Windows 8.1, the big build conference. What did we learn? A smartphone shootout between the two Google editions, HTC One, the Galaxy S4. And why is Brian Brushwood cooking with Paula Deen? It's all coming up next on Twit.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 412, recorded June 30th, 2013. Printed pizza. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Jira, an Atlassian product. Jira is the product management solution for teams planning, building, and launching great products. To learn more about Jira and try it free for 30 days, visit Atlassian.com/Twit. And by ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and enter Twit. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan, and you'll get 2 free books. Go to Audible.com/Twit2, and don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID Audible_com. And by SumAll. Easily connect your data from Google, Twitter, YouTube, PayPal, Amazon, Facebook, and more to gain important insights instantly, all in one beautiful interface. Start using it completely free today at sumall.com. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the show that takes a look at all the great tech news of the week and breaks it down, analyzes it, chews it up, spits it out, and you've got it like a little tiny bird. We've regurgitated the news into your mouth, and you can now fly off happy.
That's the way I see it.
John C. Dvorak over here to my right. OMG. Nice to see you again, John. Has been a while. Was glad to have you back.
Good to be here, Leo.
Also from GigaOm and points north in his cabin by the lake, Matthew Ingram. Good to have you. The curmudgeon, actually. You're now going to earn a title as a curmudgeon because of we'll talk about it.
What? I'm not a curmudgeon.
I don't want video in my Instagram, says Matthew Ingram.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Also here, a first-timer from Engadget, in charge of mobile devices at Engadget. I don't know if you're in charge.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm in charge.
Responsible for.
I don't really know what I'm in charge of.
Miriam Dwar, great to have you, Miriam.
Hi, thanks for having me, Leo. That's
first
great.
Time, you've been on Twit before on TNT, but first time on The Big Shoe, so thank you.
That's correct. Thanks for having me.
I ran into Miriam at Google I.O., and she said, I want to be on Twit! And I said, okay.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Look how fast that happened. Do you see what I got here? Now, this is actually a callback to last week's Twit. Some anonymous person sent me not one, but two copies of the E.T. game cartridge from Atari, widely agreed... Film Girl agreed the worst video game of all time.
All right.
And in fact, so bad, Atari had to write it in 5 weeks because they wanted to coincide with the release of the movie E.T. And they had very little time.
Yeah.
So it was bad in that respect. In fact, so bad that it's legend that Microsoft plowed it under in a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Microsoft? I mean Atari.
Did I say Microsoft? Atari.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard about these... Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that's been plowed under. People dig them up every once in a while.
Well, there's a Canadian film crew which just got permission from the city of Alamogordo to, in honor of the 30th anniversary of the game, to dig it up to see if it really is there. Because no one knows if it's an urban legend or...
It probably is.
You don't think it was?
Owns vault or something.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they throw stuff in. I was involved with the opera. Well, I wasn't involved with it, but I knew about this. There was a bunch of B&G wine in the 70s that was thrown into tons of it.
Because it was so bad?
No, there was too much in the market, and they wanted to...
Being depressed.
Yeah, it was like Roosevelt when he dumped the milk.
I didn't hear about that one either. Were you around for that?
Yes, I was, okay. As a matter of fact.
I missed that
I was against it.
Or the tea in the harbor. Were you around for that too, John?
Tea in the harbor, he was definitely there for. He was just a little kid. No, I guess the reasoning for this was this, Atari was already having trouble with the quality of video games. They were letting third parties make video games. The quality was so bad, and they said, we cannot let this one out. And so they buried them.
So you have two of the few copies of that?
They're selling for $260 on eBay. I don't know whoever.
What?
I don't. Because it's legendary.
I'm surprised it's not $2,600.
I wonder what I can get.
Oh, I like it.
It's very funny. I wonder what I can get for my book and disc of Apple Basic.
Was it buried in a landfill in Alamogordo?
It was never released.
Really? Apple Basic.
Yeah, Apple Basic.
I had Apple Basic on my BBS.
Yeah?
This is a sad story. Microsoft, which, of course, kind of owned Basic, was really miffed that Apple wrote this beautiful Basic.
Seemed to be a good Basic at the time.
It was gorgeous. I had a copy. And the story, and you maybe can confirm it, the rumor goes that Microsoft went to Apple and paid them big bucks to suppress it.
That's not my understanding.
What happened?
My understanding is that they threatened them that they're not going to release Office or any other Microsoft products if they release
that. We'll pull out of the platform if you release it. That may be more accurate.
Yeah, they're cheap. That makes more sense.
Because there was a not-so-good Basic for Macintosh that Apple, but Microsoft, you know, had no taste at the time.
Well, what can I say?
I had a copy of that Mac Base. It was amazing. We put a pirated copy up on my BBS.
Oh, you did? That Apple II BBS that you used to run?
No, it was a Mac BBS.
I thought it was an Apple. You had an Apple II BBS.
No.
That you did.
No. Anyway, enough history. Let's talk about this week's tech news. Actually, Microsoft was in the tech news. I hope you saw Windows Weekly Friday. We had Paul Throttmeyer and Joe Foley in because Build was in San Francisco, the big Microsoft developer conference, at which they released version 8.1 of Windows, a public beta.
Yeah, I have
a copy.
Won't
be out to the fall. Be careful installing it because you have to reinstall everything if you...
I have a sandbox machine that I put all that stuff on.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Although you can, download it now. Some nice, definitely a step back and some improvements in the sense that you can boot to desktop now, that there is a window button, a start button, which doesn't open a start menu, puts you back into the tiled Metro start menu. But if you slide that up, you can configure it with a couple of presses of the button so that the start button puts you to what is close to a menu. Alex Gumpel showed us.
I should have probably...
There it is. It gives you this list of apps instead of...
doesn't look very good.
It's not what people want. Comment from any of you, huh?
I think Classic Shell is still the way to go.
Exactly. I was going to say, Classic Shell solves all this. I don't really see what the point is of even bothering for Microsoft at this point, since they dug themselves into a hole in the first place.
You don't think they should try to get out of the hole?
Well, yeah, but they're obviously doing a half-assed job at it, right?
Yeah, I mean, half-assed is nothing.
Yeah, right. So they're digging the wrong way.
Exactly. Thank you, John.
They're going down.
I'm waiting on 8.2.
That's going to be the good one. They also built Skype in, so no Windows Messenger anymore, of course. But
yeah.
Skype, which Microsoft has wanted people to use as their default messenger, is now part of all installs of Windows. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's not that interesting.
Apparently not. God, it's getting off.
No, this is going right off the track right away.
Because I started off with ET, should I have started something more current?
Well, you did. That was a little dated.
Oh, man.
You can actually
And I think everyone's
Skype.
Jealous that you have these things, because I don't know anyone who's
jealous. I don't even have a 2600. I can't play it. Yeah. Go ahead, Miriam.
I was just saying that I was at Build, and the keynote, they showed how you could answer a Skype call now when you're basically on the lock screen of your Windows 8 machine.
Does Skype by default start up automatically when you start Windows?
I presume so.
Why don't you pull that?
You probably could turn that off.
I hope.
Yeah. I mean, I like... You're all on Skype, and I like Skype, but... I just feel like... I don't know. Isn't this exactly what Microsoft got in trouble with in the last century? For bundling Internet Explorer? I mean...
Well, what's their competition, though, Skypes?
There's lots of competition. It's not very well known compared to Skype, just as... I mean,
What? What's really a competition?
Uvu.
What? Excuse me?
Tango. Uvu. Oh. There's quite a few, especially on the mobile side.
Well, have you ever thought of using anything besides Skype for this show?
We've tried everything. WebRTC, Google's got a solution that is browser-based. Google Hangouts.
Yeah. Have you tried that?
There's competition. FaceTime from Apple. There's competition. It's just, I wonder if they're going to get in a little trouble. Well, you said so what about Internet Explorer in 1998, too,
I never
did
that.
It didn't bother you that Microsoft bundled the browser?
It doesn't bother me that that Microsoft bundles anything. It's their business.
But that's the point. The Department of Justice got them they got a lot of trouble.
They were abusing the privilege. That's the problem. They were going to schools and forcing them to use, Internet Explorer. They were abusing their monopoly position. That's why they got in trouble, not because they had it as a bundle. They were abusing it. They're abusive. Can I say that again?
I think you said it.
Okay. All right, moving right along. Story.
How do they like Windows 8 in Canada, Matthew?
Oh, jeez.
I don't know anybody that uses it. I don't know anybody that was waiting.
That's
for
a Canadian
it.
Answer. So, well, yeah, no way. Yeah. Sucks.
Miriam, are you Canadian or you have a French accent?
So I have both citizenships from France and from Canada.
Wow.
And I'm married to American. So,
that's as French as you can get.
Yeah.
So how do they like it in France?
I don't go back.
Maybe we should talk about something else.
All right. I'll drop
it. Years or so, I'll go back.
Nobody
I
cares
idea.
Yet. This is how pathetic that the Microsoft products have become. No, we can't even talk about them.
I'm trying to find that. So, Miriam, you were at Build. Was there? Yeah. Tell me what else of interest happened to Build.
Well, for me, focusing on mobile, they launched a couple of new phones for Sprint. Sprint finally has Windows Phone devices. I mean, they're not on the market yet.
Big celebration.
They announced them. And they're bespoke to Sprint, which is interesting. They're evolutions of existing products. You have the HTC 8XT, which is an evolution of the HTC 8X. And then I think the Samsung Ative Neo, I believe it was called. It's like an evolution of the Ative S. So, I mean, nothing too spectacular here or anything.
I liked the 8X a lot for a Windows phone.
8X is fantastic. So they've added the boom sound, the dual speaker setup to
this. This looks a little like they took the HTC, because it's got an aluminum unibody, right? It's kind of like they took a little bit from the HTC One.
I haven't seen it, and I don't think it's aluminum. I think it's still the same kind of polycarb soft-touch finish.
But it does have the front-facing dual speakers.
Correct.
What's the latest in the BlackBerry technology?
The Q10 is out. Are
Whoa,
you excited?
Woo-hoo!
Keyboards are here, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about time. I was wondering when someone was going to do that.
BlackBerry had a brief moment in the sun last week when some analyst said, get ready, BlackBerry's going to surprise you all with great quarterly results. And then the results came out.
And they tanked the stock.
It's almost worse than downplaying it and having a better result to say, oh, no, it's good. You're going to be surprised. Oh, no, you're not going to be surprised. It's terrible. What does BlackBerry do? Some have said maybe they should go in the server business and just forget phones entirely.
I think, I think that actually might not be a bad idea. I mean, it would be radical. It would be, but let's put it this way. They have a pretty good installed base inside companies running the Bez server. They have pretty good security. They have, although, they may or may not give the keys to China and Turkey and whatever, but they still have that business. It's got to be worth something. They just don't seem to be getting anywhere trying to get people to use their phones.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
But I guess in one way, you could say this is the maturity of the tech industry is that giants like Microsoft and BlackBerry are not the giants they once were.
They're still giants in their old fields.
Yeah, but the fields are changing, right? So,
well, is it really changing that much? Their sales are still going higher and higher.
Not a BlackBerry.
No, Microsoft.
Microsoft.
BlackBerry was a phenomenon. It wasn't really a big giant company like Microsoft.
I guess you're right. Last day of Google Reader. You get everything out of it, everybody?
Yeah, get your stuff moved off.
Yeah.
I haven't used Google Reader for about 2 years.
Good man.
Same here, really.
Somebody must use it because there is this, they killed Google Reader.
500,000 people.
Is that all?
Yeah, I think that was
that's
number.
Not a big
that's
business.
Why they killed it.
Yeah.
Well, it was a big business for me.
The 500,000 were mostly tech journalists, which is why it
Pretty
was
much.
A story at all, right?
Maybe. Yeah. It could be. You might be right.
Normal people didn't use it.
No.
So I
people don't even know what RSS is.
I agree with you.
If you go to, if you happen to be one of the 500,000, probably half of those people listen to Twit, though. You got to understand. I mean, that's the same. It's the,
yeah, so you can tell that most of them in the chat room.
They're here. They're in the audience of the chat. So of them, there are a couple of places you can go. You can AOL.
AOL.
A nice reader.
Deeply's pretty good.
Dig one. The Dig one just came out like the last possible minute. I'm going trying to go to dig.com right now. Here it is. I just went to dig.com.
Feedly.
Yeah, have you tried Feedly?
I like Dig a little better than Feedly.
Huh.
Yeah, I like Dig too. They've done a nice job.
It's cleaner, it's more straightforward, and it looks, let me just sign in, it looks more like Google Reader did. The import was very fast, very easy. It uses Google Reader's keystrokes like J and K and N and P and so forth. It shares, right now sharing is kind of limited, Facebook and Twitter. But see how, doesn't that look a little bit like Google Reader? With just kind of more modern typography.
You can also drag and drop into different categories, which is a nice touch.
Bin sorting.
Feedly is a little too glitzy for me.
Is that it there?
No. Bin sorting?
Yeah, that's what you do.
BlackBerry shares dive sorting. Oh, yeah, where you... No, that's for chips.
For anything.
Anything.
Back in the day, they called it bin sorting.
Bin sorting.
Yeah.
BlackBerry shares
back
dive
in,
after
back
a
in
loss.
Last century.
U.S. man gets $20,000 Facebook payout.
For what?
I'm going to talk about Facebook because I'm a little miffed.
Good for you. It's
I'm
about time.
A little miffed.
You quit the service once before and then you came back.
I want to quit Facebook so bad right now.
Just quit.
I can't.
Why?
You can't.
I'll tell you in a second. I'm going to take a break and I'll tell you why. But I think everybody listening to this show, everybody in this studio audience, everybody in the chat room should immediately go to Facebook and delete their account.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why in a second. They've
teaser.
They've gone too far.
A teaser.
And it's not video and Instagram, although Matthew Ingram really is upset. Stop putting video in my Instagram.
Kids get off my lawn.
It's very grumpy of you.
He's shaking his head.
No, he's brought up a whole post on, like, get that video out of my Instagram.
I was having a bad day.
Were you? Are you feeling better about it now?
No, not really.
No.
No. I still feel the same.
You know what's interesting?
It's a waste of time.
And maybe it's the people I follow, but I don't see a lot of video on my Instagram.
I saw a ton when they first launched it. Yep. Everybody wanted to do it.
Everybody did it
here's
once.
Here's my cat. Here's right. my daughter. Here's my food.
And people have gone back.
It has declined.
Yeah.
Definitely declined.
So now it's like just a minor. And you can set it so that it doesn't autoplay.
Yeah, the autoplay was super irritating.
Yeah.
You'll be proud of me.
I think Instagram's irritating.
Because I have not made a single Instagram video yet.
I made one.
Just to annoy Matthew.
I was tempted. You know, some ducks came up onto the beach the other morning, and they were super cute. And I was like, this would make a good Instagram video, but I talked myself out of it.
Ducks.
That's how it happens.
I know.
Starts like, with the ducks.
And then it goes to kittens.
Uh-oh.
Pretty soon, yeah, it's your dinner, and then it's all downhill from there.
All right, we're going to continue with the Pride Weekend edition of This Week in Tech in just a moment, and I will tell you why Facebook is not the place to be anymore.
Never was.
Anymore. But first, a brand new sponsor.
LiveJournal. That's where you should have been.
Yeah. Should have stayed. I had a LiveJournal.
I bet you did.
I put all my girlish thoughts there, my hopes, my fears. I wrote my name, Mrs. John C. Dvorak, over and over and over. But first, a word from Jira. Did you know that Jira, I just found this out. Jira is it's an Atlassian product, enterprise product for ticket management. But it was named after Godzilla because the Japanese name for Godzilla is what? Gojira.
Did somebody really convince you of this?
It says it on Wikipedia. That means it's true.
It must be true.
Gots to be
it's
true.
Totally true.
Are there any Japanese people in the studio today? How do you say Godzilla in Japanese? Chat room? Gojira, right?
Chat room says Gojira.
Yeah. A guy named Dendrite says, height. So it must
chat
be true.
Chat room is almost as right as Wikipedia.
So Atlassian, you probably know about it. In fact, there's a guy right in the front row here who uses Jira. And a lot of people in the chat room who use Jira. It's one of the world's most powerful and customizable issue and project management systems. captures and organizes your workflow so you can prioritize and take action on what's important while staying up to date with the activities going on around you. If you are managing a team, managing a product, if you've got software out there, you need to know about Jira. You can try it free for 30 days, and I'll tell you how you do that in a second. Capture, organize, prioritize team issues, tasks, features, bugs. You can get notifications via email, chat, app mentions, RSS, monitor streams of activity, or self-updating reports and dashboards. You're always in the know. It supports REST API. It has a REST API. So that means you can extend it yourself. If your issue involves code, Jira will ties everything together from an initial planning doc right through the files and change sets in your code repository all the way to deployment. Supports Subversion, Git, all the code management version software, Subversion, all of them. Here's the deal. Try it today. 30 days free. Join over 20,000 companies, including 70% of the Fortune 100 and even NASA. Visit Atlassian.com/twit, Atlassian.com/twit for more information on Jira. Monthly plans start at $10 a month for up to 10 users, so it's very affordable, but it scales all the way up to 100,000-seat enterprise. I mean, it is for any size. Try it free for 30 days, Atlassian.com/twit. Select Jira, J-I-R-A, for your 30-day free trial. You must have heard about this with Facebook, that these shadow profiles. So first of all, Facebook is has a horrendous leak, which apparently has been around for a while, and they now say it's as many as 6 million people have been affected by this. Now, admittedly, Facebook's got a billion users, so that's not that big percentage. But if it's you, you might not like this, where somebody can download, you know, their Facebook stuff. You know, that button, download my Facebook information. And you will get a bunch of information about your friends and your friends of friends. Some of it information they didn't even submit to Facebook. Facebook calls this...
It's been going on for a while, though, hasn't it?
It's Facebook finally admitted it on Friday, but apparently it has been going on for years. These shadow profiles, Facebook has been collecting information from other sources about you. So even if you didn't, for instance, put in your home phone number in your Facebook profile, it would have it.
Yeah.
First it was the NSA, now it's Facebook?
Well, I mean, I'm more scared of the NSA, I guess, but I'm more offended by Facebook.
Yes.
It's when you use the Find Friends feature, and it would go and find people from your contact book, and they basically saved information about those people as well. So even if they didn't have a Facebook account.
So, obviously they're getting it somewhere, and they're getting it from your friends and about your friends from you, because when they download the contact list, they just save everything. This does not seem right to me. Has Facebook said they're not going to do it anymore?
That's Facebook.
My understanding was it was a bug, and someone reported it.
Yeah, it's a bug. The bug was that when you download your stuff, you were getting other people's stuff. The shadow profiles are not a bug. It is Facebook trying to find out as much about everybody as they can, whether you gave permission or not.
And Facebook has talked about this before, the shadow profiles, and their argument was, let's say you eventually wanted to join Facebook, then when you created an account, they'd have all this information about you, and that would help you. It's not a bug, it's a feature.
The justification is we're getting ready for you to join Facebook.
Which you inevitably will.
If you haven't already.
How different is this from Google now looking at all this stuff and say, oh, he's a Giants fan.
But it's stuff that about me because I'm sharing it. How about different?
Yeah, but when you... Okay. But what... Okay.
Isn't it?
Well, I don't like their auto-tagging.
But you don't have to do that, any of that. You can even use all of these Google features without participating. They give you explicit opt-out. Facebook doesn't even tell you it's doing this. And, in fact, not only does it not tell you, it's not doing it about you. It's doing it about your friends. It's getting information from you, John,
about my home number. It's the easiest way for the government to get a dossier without having to do any work whatsoever. Facebook do all the work, and then they can get your – they don't have to look anything up. What's Leo's number, Bill?
What does this have to do with the government?
NSA.
What's it? Facebook and the government?
Don't you think the NSA knows my phone number anyway?
I wonder.
All they have to do is to go to the phone company and say, buy that phone book that you publish, give us all the numbers and the ones that you don't publish. And they got it.
This is a fact.
That's easy.
Yeah. Well, then get
and we know that the phone companies bend over for the NSA.
As it were.
Yes.
They don't bend over for the customer.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Well, just quit Facebook and
potentially
quit
everyone who has a Facebook account. So when I say find my friends, when I give Facebook permission,
I wonder if they fake. You know, I have a couple of bogus Facebook accounts that I didn't do it. People have done for me. I wonder if they're putting a bunch of weird crap about me in those
You'll profiles. Never know because you don't Facebook
probably.
Yeah, probably you're right. I don't care. I don't.
Even if you never told Facebook your phone number, it might have a record of it as well as your email addresses, home addresses, other things that are in your friends' contact list. I gave this to
you.
In
the olden days, you used to list your phone number anyway, so who cares?
Because, I'll tell you why. In my address book, I have the names of some very famous people.
Yeah?
Who are very protective of their privacy.
Okay.
And Facebook apparently now has that information because I, without knowing it, gave Facebook permission to look at my contacts.
Well, it's not your fault.
It is my fault.
No, it's not your fault at all. It's Facebook's fault.
You did agree to it, though.
Right? And you agreed to it.
Well,
you signed on the dotted line.
Facebook's point is they told you about that when you signed up. They said, we're going to look at your contacts and get all kinds of information so we can suggest new friends to you. So you agreed to it. That's their argument.
Yeah.
But my understanding of that would be that they would have information about who I know in their... in a database associated with me, but that wouldn't, well, I guess, so that means to you when they say that, and by the way, we're going to save everybody's phone numbers in that contact list.
You're speaking in riddles.
The thing is, they're not giving you a lot of detail, right? They're saying, yes, we're going to do this, but I don't think the average user realizes what that means. That's why these shadow profiles are surprising. Yeah. They don't say, we're going to collect all the information on all your friends and put it in a secret file, and then we'll let people download it accidentally. Like,
in Europe, it might be illegal. It's probably legal in the U.S. It might be illegal because they have much stronger data protection laws in the
EU. In fact, I don't think you're allowed to collect information about third parties.
Yeah. And furthermore, because of a bug in Facebook for over a year, they've been giving that information out to somebody else. So not only are they collecting, in my opinion, over-collecting information, but they're also giving it to anybody, to other people.
Sure.
And the NSA.
This NSA meme is never going to go away.
No, because the NSA is never going to go away.
Well, we want them to listen to what we have to say, right?
Yeah, there's the only way you get more customers.
Come on.
It's a huge operation. If everybody in the NSA was listening to this show, you'd be on easy street.
How big is the NSA?
I just think the NSA needs to offer some kind of automated backup. I mean, if they've got all my email and voice, you know, messages and whatnot,
that's
why don't
a good
they
one.
Just sell me,
right.
Sell me
my machine blew up.
You know, people make that joke, but seriously, if they did offer that as a feature, wouldn't people feel better about it?
I would.
Like, totally.
Oh, okay. I hate that off-site backup.
You're collecting everything, so, well, that's nice. That makes up for the fact that you've been spying on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it would charge you, you know, for a few gigabytes, but, you know, it'd still be better than...
At least you'd get something for your tax money, right?
Yeah. Free backup.
You know that joking about this is the first step to accepting it.
I've long since accepted it.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
years ago.
Did you really think they weren't doing this?
No, I thought they were.
Well, everybody, there's actually some good analysis. I'm not even going to... Done. Not going to talk about it. I promise I wasn't going to talk about it.
No.
I'm talking about politics.
Is this
on this
one
show
of those no agenda? No, this is not politics. This is a technology story.
It is.
There's been some studies that show that the way people accept things is, you know, it varies, and it's already been accepted. But the problem that they have is everyone kind of knew this was going on, but when somebody came out and proved it, then it was like, oh, my God. But they were just like, you already knew, but now somebody proved it, so now you're all upset.
We know, but we don't want to know.
So back to Matthew's point. Back to Matthew's point, you accepted it the moment you pressed that button that said that you could look at your address book, Facebook.
Right. Yeah, I guess I just didn't think that they were storing
those Eulas are nasty.
The numbers of the people that I know and cross-referencing that. Sure. I mean, I thought, oh, okay, that makes sense. What they're doing is they're making a database associated with Leo Laporte with all of my friends' email addresses, maybe phone numbers. That data is kind of segregated so that if that person joins Facebook, they can – I guess you're right. I guess I knew.
But you didn't know the details, I mean, right? Because they didn't spell it out.
I think it's wrong too, Leo. But like, I think that we're kidding ourselves if we didn't think that was a possibility.
Well, it makes me want to quit Facebook real quick. Yeah, but the irony of that is they still have all the data because they're not giving it up.
No.
They've already got all my
information.
You've
quit Facebook before. I don't understand why you're even on
Facebook. I'll tell you why I quit Facebook. The last time I quit Facebook was when they changed their privacy policy so dramatically and so unexpectedly that it was clear that they couldn't care less, right? And so I said, in protest, I quit. And then a month later, I realized I have to be on Facebook if only to cover it. And frankly, it's a useful platform for reaching our audience and reaching my, you know, I don't.
You have your blog. You've got all kinds of ways of reaching the audience. You have a camera on you, and you can reach the audience that way. You're talking to a microphone. I mean, how much more ways you want to reach the audience? I don't see it as anything
that
valuable.
No, but if you're a tech journalist, you have to have a Facebook account.
I'm a tech journalist. I don't have one.
Yeah, but you're out of touch.
I don't know.
You can't talk about Facebook.
I don't want to talk about Facebook. That's the only thing I can't talk about Facebook. I can talk about Facebook. I'm talking about it now that you mention it. I don't have to be on Facebook, wasting my time, grinding away, seeing what all my lost friends have done, you know, since high school.
I don't visit Facebook.
Yeah. I'm done. That was my rant.
Are you of the opinion, as they are in Persons of Interest, that Facebook was actually an arm?
Isn't that a great line in Persons of Interest?
They invented social media so they could keep track of us.
It's easier. The police, you know, I remember during the Echelon era, I had a radio show, and they were talking about Echelon. I had an FBI guy on the show, we're talking about it, and it always seemed to me ever since that interview that law enforcement at almost all levels, and I've worked in law enforcement, actually, and when I was an air pollution inspector, are very lazy. They would love to not do any work.
Did you carry a gun?
No, I didn't carry a gun. But it's law enforcement.
John C. Dvorak, inspector.
We had to give...
I hear there's pollution here.
Those fines were pretty nasty.
$10,000? Are you considered like a enrolled member of the law enforcement
nowadays,
community?
No.
But in the time... Well, no, fishing game. I have a friend who's fishing game. He comes to poker with his sidearm.
We actually had
one
group of our guys that was armed.
Yeah.
They're the guys that pulled the trucks over.
Yeah.
You have to be armed, apparently.
Sure, no, because you never know.
No, we were just going to Standard Oil and hanging out. Which is, you don't need a gun there.
Do they offer you money, cocaine, girls, anything?
That's funny you'd say that because apparently the New Jersey guy, we had a guy who came over from New Jersey. He was one of our inspectors, and he said they do that in New Jersey.
Of course in New Jersey.
Yeah, apparently it was all bribes. No offense to all you Jerseyites. But anyway, okay, I'm sorry I mentioned that.
I'm trying to get enforcement. Understood the need to gather
information.
No.
It's when I talked to the FBI guys, I realized that everybody in law enforcement is lazy. And they would love to have their work done for them by some social media.
I don't think that's fair. I think they understand
that
their job is driven by information.
Echelon,
the more that they have, the better they could do their
lazy.
Job.
Lazy. The clipper chip, lazy. Everything is like, if they can just give us the cases and prove it so we don't have to get out of the office and we can hang around and just chat with each other, that would be much better than having to do some real police work.
Hey, I think that's just not fair to them. really do. And I never was in law enforcement.
Were the air quality enforcement officials lazy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That's a given.
Just to be honest about it, I have stories. I mean, we spend most of our time shopping. It was great.
Confessions of an air pollution inspector.
Shopping. It's just shopping. There's not much to write. Once an essay.
That's a reality.
We're shopping a lot.
I would watch that.
Yeah, me too.
And yet, you see these articles I just saw an article the other day that law enforcement is complaining about the fact that they can no longer tap everything, that everything is encrypted.
Aw.
Yeah, really. Of course, we know that if you encrypt, they say that is a...
You're a target now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are, we reserve the right to anybody who encrypts or uses Tor. We're going to assume they're up to no good.
Yeah, well, the Tor thing probably has a back door, and we're pretty sure that some of the encryption, DES supposedly has a back door. the DES program when I was at an RSA conference. They told me that the guys, the intelligence community took the code with them to chat about it and make sure it was something that could be useful. And then there's some new code was inserted and nobody knows what it does.
Let's see, we're just showing the Wired threat level blog. There's an article in The Verge. Government wiretaps were foiled by encryption for the first time in 2012.
Now, somebody says in the chat room, oh, no, the Tor network's an onion, so you can't do any. It's not, you know.
It's open source. It's not, probably it's does not have even, a backdoor.
But there's tricks to track you if you go through.
Maybe. I wouldn't put it past those lazy pollution inspectors. God only knows.
Write me all you want about this. I'm telling you, law enforcement is generally lazy. Okay. They'd rather not put a lot of effort in if they don't have to. And if you'd want to go turn yourself in and write a confession, they're pleased as punch. Don't call the lawyer.
Wiretap report 2012, Administrative Office of the Courts. Summary here. Encryption was reported for 15 wiretaps in 2012 and for 7 wiretaps conducted during previous year. And 4 of these. Now, this is interesting. In 4 out of the 15, officials were unable to decipher the plain text of the messages. So I'm getting a different thing from this. Yes, they failed 4 times. They succeeded 9 times in getting through the encryption. That's, to me, more telling.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, I think that headline, I think The Verge and the threat level blog are focusing on the wrong message here. Government wiretaps were foiled by encryption for the first time, but only 4 out of the 15 wiretaps. 9, no problem. We got right through that encryption. That didn't work so good.
Yeah, they took the wrong angle on the story. It's very funny.
A secret encoder key? I think they missed the point.
Yeah, the point is that they got most of it.
They got most of it.
And those other ones, if they went and took a second pass at it, they probably would have gotten half of them again.
I guess this is the other point of it. In the 109 reported cases between 2000 and 2011 where they encountered encryption, they got it in every case they got through. 109 out of 109.
Yeah.
They were able to decrypt. So the reason that the story is this is the first time ever that 4 people foiled them. So this makes me think either people are misusing, they're not using encryption right, or really encryption isn't as effective as we've been given to believe.
There's some discussion along those lines. You know, I remember before, was it TrueCrypt that's out? There used to be a thing called DriveCrypt.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
They had an encryption thing on there. There was one type of encryption. It was, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, and I always thought it was going to show up again. It disappeared. Completely disappeared. And that was the encryption techniques used by the Swiss banks. And when I was at this RSA conference, they said the security people did not want Americans using this.
Because it's too good.
Apparently it worked. Mm. And then now it's completely gone. Maybe somebody in the chat room could remember this type of encryption. It was called Snowbank or something like that.
We don't know. Unfortunately, this report is not very explicit. But I'm really curious as to why, A, they've broken 109 out of 109 up to now. And B, why only 4 out of the 15 from 2012, only 4 were unencryptable? Are people so misusing encryption that, you know, are they saying, hey, well, I...
Well, there's a number of problems with encryption. One, if you're a smart agent, you could, if you could insert a keylogger into anybody's system...
Get the password.
Password, then you're done.
And in fact, I remember the Secret Service saying, we don't worry so much about encryption. This was some years ago. This was maybe 2003. We don't worry so much about encryption because mostly the guys just give us the password. Most crooks, they go, yeah, here's the password. They don't fight it. That's what they told me. I don't know.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they had a thumb screw on them or something. Maybe.
You know, I think that it's surprising how often crooks cooperate once they're you know, actually in an interrogation room. And I don't think it requires torture. I think it requires a savvy interrogator. I know you've watched To Catch a Predator. Those guys always confess.
The Catch a Predator guys?
Yeah.
That my favorite was the guy that got caught twice.
Yeah.
Typically these guys are idiots. So there's some bonehead, you know, and he's in the chat room and he chatted somebody up and he's going to go visit him. So, and he's cross-eyed, he can barely walk. He's, you know, not the sharpest guy, and they bust the guy. And then the next week's show there's
he's
the
back.
Guy again with somebody else. This is a dumb show.
Anyway, you watch this show and you see these guys melt. And it's not pressure.
Okay.
They go, oh, you got me. I'm sorry.
So well, you remember Matt Honan Remember Matt Honan at Wired and all his passwords and everything got, and that wasn't hacking at all. It was
social engineering
hacking.
Social
engineering. It's very rarely the encryption that saves you.
Right.
It's funny that nobody in the chat room came up with this, the name of this encryption scheme.
Snow job, somebody said, but I don't know if that's
job.
True.
Like, if I hear
they failed
it,
your test, John. They failed your test.
Snow job's a good name, though.
They're fired.
So new prism slides,
right?
New prism slides are out. The Washington Post has them. You know, I'm a little miffed by The Guardian and Glenn Greenwald that they're dribbling these out. It's like, well, we got more. Stay tuned. Next week, we'll show you some more slides. It's good for
I'm glad the Post. I'm glad the Post publicized a few more.
Yeah,
I'd like to see the whole deck.
Well, yeah, let's see the whole thing.
There are reasons.
I'll tell you, the first thing I'm deducing from these slides is these guys don't know crap about designing PowerPoint slides.
No.
Look at this.
I know, they're amateur.
Look at this. This is horrible.
Yeah.
I can't even, what the hell are they talking about?
Clearly they're not working with Apple.
You know, we could take these slides and make them Linux. Beautiful.
They're not using Keynote.
Actually, I think there might be a reverse thing going on where they want them to look as ugly as possible, because then it doesn't look like they spent a whole lot of time on them. You know, then it looks like, oh, we just threw these together after a full day of, you know,
no, you're exactly tracking encryption. If you make them too beautiful, then the presumption probably correct.
I think, who was it said this?
I want to say Larry Ellison. Somebody said, when I see a beautiful PowerPoint presentation, I know there's an employee who's freaking wasting his time.
Yeah, that's from a guy making $96 million a year.
That's how you make the big bucks. You keep a tight lid on those employees.
And his PowerPoints look like hell.
Analyzing information. It might have been, maybe, yeah, no, I think it was
slides that they released totally. What are these slides?
Well, the first release was just two slides. These are new ones that came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I wrote about them last night.
So tell us about them, Matthew.
Dribbling these out.
That's really annoying to me. That is the worst kind of, in my opinion, link baiting.
Both the Post and The Guardian have said that they've not released some because they're concerned about national security.
All right.
So just that they're waiting. It's that some of them have presumably information that could jeopardize something.
And then somehow in a week later, they've figured out they're okay and they're going to release them now? Some magical... They have them vetted by some magical princess who says, oh no, those are fine. Go ahead and release those.
The other thing that came up about after I wrote the post about the new Washington Post slides was a couple people pointed out all the interesting stuff is in the annotations beside the slide where Barton Gellman... presumably interprets the slide.
Yep.
And this is based on, you know, his reporting. But we don't have a whole lot of... So we have basically his annotation saying there's equipment on company premises. So
that's something that consistently Google, Facebook, Yahoo, everybody has denied. They say they do not have government access, does not have government access to our servers. Not according to these slides.
So, and it all hinges on the interpretation of this term, direct access.
Right.
So, but according to the annotations on this slide, the FBI is operating equipment that is on company premises, and then they take the data and they give it to the NSA or the CIA or whoever wants it, and it can include real-time monitoring of voice conversations, text, chat, and voice chat.
And this show...
Well, I'm sure they're listening. So this slide is interesting. Prism collection details. By the way, among the other annotations, the annotation of the Prism logo, the program's called Prism after the prisms used to split light, which is used to carry information on fiber optic cables. Steve Gibson nailed this. And the further release of slides shows that, in fact, as Steve believed, they were tapping upstream at the providers. They actually explicitly say, in fact, they call it upstreaming. Which means that they can get the data without the cooperation of Microsoft, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, YouTube, Skype, AOL, and Apple.
And if you think about it, company premises could just refer to, to a server room somewhere at a co-location facility.
Right.
It doesn't have to mean you know, inside the Google.
Well, yeah, it could be direct access, could mean over the, or no direct access could mean over the internet.
Or just wiretapping their provider. That's what Steve said. And I think Steve's argument is that even though, of course, these national security letters and the Patriot Act kind of prevent Google, Microsoft, the others from saying anything, they wouldn't have, there's nothing requiring them to do these explicit denials. That these explicit denials, you know, they could say, you know, we're not going to talk about it, but these explicit denials,
right,
which would be absolute lies, are...
And Google's chief counsel has gone farther than anybody.
Yeah.
He did a Q&A with The Guardian, and he probably went farther than any of the other companies in specifically saying, there's no direct access, there's no indirect access, there's no lockbox,
right,
there's no Dropbox, there's no nothing. So that's... You know, that just does not jibe with the description of this slide.
Yep. And yet there is upstreaming. They make a point, one of these slides, and this is for our international listeners, that most traffic ends up going through the U.S., even if it's not targeted to
a
U.S.
Yeah, May East, May West, those places.
Most of the world's communications flow through the United States. A target's phone call, email, or chat will take the cheapest path, not the physically most direct path. Your target's communications could easily be flowing into and out of the United States. Good news! what are they getting from these providers? Email, chat, video, voice, videos, photos, stored data, VoIP, file transfers, video conferencing, notifications of target activity like logins, online social networking details, thank you, Facebook, and special requests.
In other words, everything.
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 Hard disks are cheap.
We should start engineering custom messages for them.
I think we should do as much obfuscation and you know, disinformation as possible. I want to
voting out our congressmen that put up with this crap.
And vote them out, too. Damn straight.
Damn straight.
Damn straight. It's very, very frustrating to me. Anyway, we know more, and it's as bad as we thought. It's not worse than we thought.
I think there is.
But it'd be worse than we thought. Fatalism. We're at max.
Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, I think there's a certain fatalism about, you know, we sort of knew what was happening. Now all these details are coming out, and pretty much it's as bad as we imagined in our kind of worst imaginings. And so then what?
Yeah.
You know, the next day you have to get up and use your email and log into things. And, I mean, what do you do?
By the way, if you want to compare and contrast, something the chat room has sent me the slides from Apple's final argument in their ebook case. This is what slides should look like. Clean, crisp, the information is clear, the point is well made.
You're still going to lose.
You're still going to lose, but they are going to make beautiful slides. Look at that.
You're really good at this. Look at it, it's gorgeous. I told you.
Those are actually aren't that gorgeous.
It's keynote.
I think they're getting
fantastic.
The point. It's keynote. It's I bet
nicer
you,
than the NSA slides.
Yeah, what we're not seeing is the gorgeous transitions. I'm sure there's swoops and swipes and dupes and sound effects. Okay.
So scroll down and look at the ones from the DOJ.
Oh, you want to see the DOJ's? Okay. Here's the Department of Justice's slides. Oh, yeah. Can you read that?
No.
No. How about that?
Yeah,
we need to train the federal government in making slides, I think.
How about we fire them?
You just need to stop using Microsoft products.
It does. It's very PowerPointy. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad they made that page right there. That's legible.
Talking about PowerPointy, when are they going to ever upgrade this thing?
Why? Do you care?
I use PowerPoint.
You use it? Really?
Yeah, of course.
You still use it?
Yeah. As opposed to what?
You know who uses it? And it's frustrating to me is a lot of schools, even K through 6 schools.
They do.
Yeah. And it's really depressing to me to see these poor fourth graders forced to use PowerPoint. It's so sad.
I like it. Yet they won't teach cursive to kids anymore.
Right on. What? You think they should learn cursive?
Ah.
With a
and quill pens. Hardly anybody uses quill pens anymore.
Yeah.
You don't need a quill pen to write in cursive. A ballpoint will
you
do
really
it.
You really are sounding.
Hey.
Ben Franklin is here. You know what else?
That's that poor woman that was testifying in the Zimmerman case, and they were just humiliating her on the stand because she couldn't read cursive. And it was just like...
She can't read Sanskrit either.
She couldn't read cursive?
What is so hard about reading? When I was a kid, they used to call it longhand. Can you read longhand? No.
Spike in our chat room says he can pee in cursive.
Well, anyway,
if there's enough snow,
you have no other way of writing with P.
Yeah.
It has to be cursive.
That's why kids should be learning cursive. How are they expected to pee in the snow
if they
don't learn cursive?
They could develop their muscles so they could stop and start and stop and start, and then they could
be good.
They can print the letters out very clearly.
Doing your Kegels.
Doctors advise you not to.
That would be good.
Really?
And so I'll take it down the rat hole if he wants me to do that.
Is this
so
a
you think
show?
Cursive sucks? It's weird.
I don't know.
Why would you need to learn cursive?
So you could read it.
But who's writing in it?
Well, old ladies.
Most of it is illegible anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen anybody's cursive that was born after 1970?
Like your doctor's.
That's because they don't teach it anymore.
No. I mean, they taught it in the 70s. I learned it.
Mine's terrible. Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Just type. We got keyboards.
There, man. Guys are all walking down the same gangplank.
They don't teach spelling anymore, you know, because they said spell checker's going to fix it.
Oh, screw spelling.
Screw spelling.
Who needs it?
We don't need it.
You know, very soon they won't teach us to make things because we have 3D printers.
That's right. We can just print it. Did you see somebody's making a software now for the 3D printers that if it sees it's a gun part, will refuse to print it?
Really?
Yeah. I'm not going to print that.
How does it know? I mean,
it has a database.
It has a database of all the gun parts. Now, you just deconstruct a database, you could put a gun together real easy.
Actually, DRM for 3D printers is going to be a huge, huge deal. I mean, once you can print out, you know, there was even a case about Lego bricks. Some guy printed out some missing Lego bricks. Well, you can't do that.
Well, so it's legal now because Lego's patent has, copyright or whatever, has expired.
Since this is a tech show, after all, Microsoft actually announced that they are supporting 3D printing in Windows 8.1 natively. Wow.
What does that even mean? It's an operating system for the computer.
Well, what it means, John, is that basically you know how you have a printer driver for your 2D printer? Now you can have printer drivers for 3D printers built right into Windows. And isn't it magical? Come on.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. That I'm going to start using Windows.
I'm going to make a butter knife.
No, right there. I mean, that
butter
makes me
knife.
Switch right there. It's fantastic.
You can
right?
make like chess pieces and, you know, earrings, coffee cups.
It still can't make you coffee, though.
Coffee. No. You can make coffee cup.
3D print coffee. When they can do that, I am in.
You know, like the replicator.
You have the food.
Yeah,
the
I want
food printers. The one that prints pizza. I'll bet you that's delicious.
It's a printer that prints pizza?
Yes, yeah, they were thinking of putting it on the space shuttle so you
can. Gotta have one.
So you can print pizza.
John, order me that, would you?
You know what I thought was interesting was they printed a jawbone for a guy who needed surgery, and they basically customized this plastic jawbone, or not plastic, but made out of whatever material they implant, you know, so your body doesn't reject it. And they printed this whole sort of jawbone part and then attached it to his
What a world.
Head and, yeah.
That's fabulous.
Some guy in the chat room says, print my wife. Yeah, that's coming.
Please.
I didn't realize this. NASA funded the research on this 3D pizza printer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they want to take a 2-ton pizza printer into space instead of an actual pizza.
I think it prints other things.
That's because they don't know what to do with the cardboard box when they were up there. That's the problem.
See, it's just the first step to replicators.
And also, zero-G 3D printing.
We have to solve.
So you don't want that salami slice floating
off.
A
lot of problems to print in space. It's not as easy as one would think.
Especially when you're printing a pizza. Yes, it prints the sauce, too. I'll bet you that's good.
In the Soviet Union, 3D printer prints you. Someone in the chat room.
Now, it's only a $125,000 grant from NASA, so that's not a lot of money.
It's enough to make one prototype, maybe.
Chump change.
The guy who's invented this calls it his universal food synthesizer.
Earl Grey tea, hot.
Exactly.
Right. Yes, Earl Grey tea, tepid.
Is that a Hitchhiker's Guide reference?
No, that's a Picard.
Picard.
He's always ordering
Earl Grey.
Tepid. Earl Grey tea.
Tepid Earl Grey tea.
Hot, you're right, not tepid.
Yeah, it's always hot.
So it starts with an inert gas. Here's a slide. Inert gas, then a pressure regulator with the nutrient storage, the mixing chamber, the actuator valve goes through the flow sensor, the spray valve system using a 3D printer rep wrap just spits it right out.
Spits out
in
that
stuff.
In
other words, Leo, it's extruded cooked. Just like McDonald's food. All McDonald's fact, food is extruded.
That's the same process Pizza Pizza uses. That's a little known fact.
Here's a trial. They printed chocolate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, using melted chocolate to print it? How would
like
you print chocolate without using chocolate?
Right,
this
like
bull,
this.
Bull
Are you
crap.
Watching this? It's printing chocolate.
Yeah, it's got some hot chocolate coming out of a hose and is making a chocolate bar. So how is this anything?
Well, you got to start
somewhere. Look at the way they're doing it. They're so dead serious. Look at this printing of the chocolate. It's a hose of chocolate.
But you could do it at home. You could do it with your Windows 8 computer. That's
yes, right. You'd have the I.O. for it anyway.
Exactly.
This is idiotic.
He's making s'mores.
That's a breakthrough.
I can't believe this video. Oh, my God. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. He'll have finished printing the chocolate, and we can all try some.
Yeah. You're on.
Great.
3D s'mores. By the way, that thing on the top, that's a delicious sounding protein layer. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You like your pizza with some protein? Our show today brought to you by ShareFile.com. How long before you're sharing pizzas? Chocolate.
Yeah.
More. In business,
remote
sending.
Remote printing.
Remote printing. Well, we can do that now.
Yeah. Print you a pizza.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool? You call the pizza place and they say, well, it'll come out on your printer in a minute.
Yeah.
Or you get it for free.
Yeah. Print it in a minute or it's yours for free. Yeah. It'd save a lot of red light running and stuff. In business, we rely on sending and receiving important materials, not pizza, but things like PowerPoint presentations, drawings, slides, images. I send audio to the radio stations every single week.
Remotely.
And I do it with ShareFile. So I record it here. I set it up with ShareFile.com. I've used other solutions, never as good as Easy or guaranteed as ShareFile. Problem with email, of course, you got bounce backs, these large files, also the security involved. Sending an email is like sending a postcard. So that's why I use ShareFile from Citrix. It's just the better way to send and receive files of almost any size. The file sent is a link, so there's no bounce back. I can see when it's been downloaded. I get an email message. You can also set access controls, password, how many times it can be downloaded, for how long. So, for instance, when I said radio ads, I say you can have it for a week because I don't want it to be downloaded after that time. You could, when the files are stored in the cloud, so I can access the files anywhere on my laptop or mobile device. I use the free ShareFile apps. So if I forget to send something, I can just fire it up on my phone. I don't have to have the file on my phone. I just say the one in the cloud, send that along. It really is great. ShareFile.com. Here, try it free for 30 days. No obligation. Visit ShareFile.com. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and enter the offer code TWIT. 30 days free. Now, I remember that microphone at the top is the one you want, not the one in the middle. The one at the top, 30 days free. It says radio listeners, but you get the idea. ShareFile.com.
What do you make of this?
What? Brian Brushwood with Paula Deen. Did you know that he had done that?
Everybody in the chat room
like 1997.
Well, it's, I'm just saying, it's the confluence. Brian Brushwood on Paula's party.
He even tweeted about it afterwards.
On the Food Network.
Like,
wow.
We have had so much fun today, haven't we?
We have.
We've had some cold, but right now, we are really fixing to play with some fire. I want y'all to meet my friend Brian Brushwood.
Is that how she talks?
Yes. Yeah.
You didn't know this? Yeah, she's got
And they're surprised that she said something racist?
10 years ago.
10 years ago? Actually, this was
about
this was
the time.
10 years ago. It's right about the time.
Yeah.
Look at his hair.
He probably drove her to it.
His hair was more spiky then.
Mm-hmm. It's since hair. Downgraded.
He's kind of toned it down a little bit.
Here fire.
To help me with this next recipe. Now, we all loved s'mores as a kid growing up, didn't we? The graham crackers.
Oh, I can't. Poor Brian. He can't even. The things we do.
Yeah. What? And quit show business?
Yes. He was young. He needed the money. So why don't you like video on Instagram?
We're going to stay on this topic whether we like it or not.
Video Instagram.
You love it?
I love it.
Why?
Because it's better than Vine. Because Vine's only 6 seconds and Instagram's 15. If you want it.
Somebody should come up with a 20-second one.
Twice as stupid and waste twice as much of your time.
It's easier to... Well, all I have to do is point out the fact... Wait a minute. This graph doesn't look anything like I expected it to. Vine has been hurt by Instagram. Vine is Twitter's video sharing technology. And the blue line is Instagram, which is actually kind of steady. And the yellow line is Vine. And Vine videos have dived. Less than 900,000 Vine links shared on Twitter in one day. That's 70% less than the week before on the June 27th. So I don't know what that means. If I were Twitter, I'd be peeved. Twitter apparently missed out on buying Instagram, thought about it, but decided not to. And one of the reasons
and actually Fred Wilson, one of their investors, said it was a big loss for them, big mistake.
Blew it. It was a defensive, you know, Mark Zuckerberg turned out to be pretty smart in getting Instagram because he really was making it a defensive move, I think. Because I look at how my kids use it. They've moved off Facebook. They're using Instagram.
I think that's what we decided Vine. When you when this first came up, you said
that. Yeah. So I think that's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm kind of with Matthew on the video issue.
You don't like it either?
Well, look, I like the idea of Vine originally as a separate thing. And I think that Instagram has shown how to do it right. Okay. The problem is that Instagram is already a photo service, and I don't want to see videos on my photo service.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I was one of the early adopters of Instagram, and I was bitchy when it moved to Android, despite the fact that I'm a heavy Android user, because I knew instantly that the quality would go down of the content I would see. And that happened. Thankfully, you know, I dropped a bunch of people, and I still had some pretty decent quality content on Instagram because of that.
I was the Android user who was very excited that Instagram was
available. Well, there you go. But, I mean, you know what? I think the video thing, you know, hopefully I'll be able to part out my stream to get the good stuff out of it. But, you know, that's the problem. It's that people are going to take a while to get creative and really good with it. And hopefully eventually, right?
Plus, I think one of my points was that, well, A, like what you said, Miriam, having video in a thing that's already devoted to doing photos is a little like chalk and cheese, for me at least. But if photos, you know, you can take a half-decent photo of things and I can sort of scroll past it and think, oh, that looks nice. A video requires a whole bunch more time for you to make it any good, which most people don't have time or the skills to do. It requires a whole bunch more time for me to sort of look at it and then realize that it's crap and I've just wasted 15 seconds of my time. And it doesn't, you know, 15 seconds doesn't seem like a lot, but over time, you watch enough crappy Instagram or Vine videos, you're thinking, you know, I'm wasting my life.
I'm just looking through my Instagram feed, and out of a dozen or so photos, there's only one video in it right now. So I think while people jumped on the video at first, that this is the only video. Doesn't even look that interesting. It's a storage locker.
It's terrible.
That's fascinating.
This is a terrible video.
Black and white. Right, that means it's arty.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah, it's a piece of crap.
I have to say, the other thing that's interesting is when you look at like that as a still is kind of okay. When you look at the video, it's like, oh, God.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
and they're shaky cam, and, I mean, it makes me nauseous watching half of them because people will jump cut, you know, from this to that. And, I mean
it's terrible already on Vine, but at least on Vine, it's a separate service.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now it's longer, just as terrible, and mixed in with a really pretty awesome service for pictures.
Right. Right. In fact, did you see the guy who started 12 seconds. Do you remember that was a service for sharing 12-second videos? Went nowhere. But, you know, he said he thinks they made a huge mistake because Instagram was for photos. People got used to it. And now you're throwing videos in there. They're two very, very different things.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, it's really well done, right? Like the UI,
the fact that you can
remove the last bit that you recorded, the filters, the you know, the Steadicam correction, all that.
I would only point out that really none of us are the audience for any of this stuff. It's all aimed at 15-year-old kids, right?
True. True.
Yeah, that's
true. My daughters love it.
Yeah.
So
there you go. And so they were too young to use 12 seconds. I don't know why.
They need to get off my lawn.
Get off of my lawn. Google reportedly developing an Android game console, a smartwatch, and a new Nexus Q, just what the world's long awaited.
Yeah, I wrote a column about this in PC Mag. I think this is bull.
This is from the Wall Street Journal.
I don't care.
That is not bull. That is a reliable source of something. Google spokesperson declined to comment. I could see them do, Ouya has done, I think, quite well, hasn't it, as a $99 Android game console. I could see Google doing
that. Oh, yes, it's sweeping the nation.
Well, admittedly, it's not sweeping the nation, but it's an interesting product category.
Yeah, open source.
Remember, though, Google's not trying to create products for their own sake, right?
This would be, maybe they're going to use the little ball. That ball, the spheroid thing, and then you put the game machine in that.
Yeah.
Now, that would be kind of neat.
Oh, you mean the Q? Yeah.
Yeah, the little round thing.
The Q could be a game console.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right now it's useless.
Right. Well, they stopped selling it, but apparently...
I don't think they ever did sell
it. They didn't. They couldn't because nobody... It was too expensive.
Apparently, you can make a nice little Linux box out of it.
Yeah. You know, you can make a Linux box out of a cigarette lighter.
It's out of anything.
Anything. Yeah. In fact, it's the first thing Linux people do is say, well, we could put Linux on it.
That's what they say to everything. You're right.
I could put Linux on it.
Don't you think it'd be cool to have a little round Linux thing you'd roll around?
Yeah.
Remember when the test was, could you run Doom on it?
And then I think it was, that's right.
Could you run Quake on it?
Right. People ran Doom on iPods. That was the dumbest
thing. And a watch. Someone ran Doom on a watch.
You can't play it. But you can do it, and that's the most important thing.
But it runs.
People are so excited, I don't know why, about Google selling Google Edition versions of the Samsung Galaxy S4 and the HTC One. They went on sale just last week. They will start shipping July 9th. People are very excited. I don't know why about this.
So I did a hands-on of both of those for Engadget this week. I've got them here in my pocket. And I have to say, they're awesome.
Great.
So, Miriam, do you use one of the other branded version?
Yes, I have them as well. But, I use pretty much every phone there is out there because that's my job.
Right.
I personally use a Nexus 4 as my main device, but I'm probably going to switch to an HTC One with stock Android at this point.
Why?
I believe the HTC One is the best piece of phone hardware in the universe right now. So
it's a beautiful piece of hardware.
And Leo agrees.
It's not just that. It's just great in terms of everything, and the software is pretty good as Sense 5, but stock Android is just a whole new dimension of better. And thankfully, they somehow fixed up all the imaging and camera stuff to be somewhat half decent, so the quality of the pictures you take with the stock Android versions of both these phones are very, very close, if not identical, to the quality coming out of the TouchWiz and Sense versions. Of course, you lose some functionality, but I'm willing to live without that functionality. Things like, using the front and rear camera at the same time in the Galaxy S4.
That's stupid. No,
a lot of it seems dumb anyway.
But I like the Zoe a lot, and I like Highlights a lot. I'll miss those.
I'm going to miss the Zoe, to be honest. Yeah. Tell us about the Zoe.
I don't know anything about the Zoe.
Go ahead.
What is the Zoe?
Well, so Zoe is this feature in the HTC Sense, the HTC One, the Sense 5 version that lets you basically capture something like 10 frames at full resolution, and also an H.264 video. I think it's 6 seconds long.
It does a pre-record of another second, so you could get a total of four. So that's one of the things that's interesting. If I'm pointing it at you, it remembers the first second before I press the capture button.
Right.
So, and it picks the best still images out of those, as well as you get this video. I really like it.
So I like that idea.
Of effects you can use out of that, too. Like, you can grab, you can make an effect where you can pick the best faces during that capture.
I was never able to get that work. Were you able to get that work?
It's in the gallery. So the thing is, on the Samsung, all that stuff is a feature in the camera.
Right.
With HTC, you shoot the Zui first, and then later on in the gallery, you can do this at your leisure anytime. But you have to actually go in the gallery to do it.
I was never it never seemed to do anything.
Didn't the BlackBerry have a feature like that where you could scroll back and forth?
All of this technology comes from a company that was recently acquired by Nokia, and they were the forerunner of this. Erase people in the background, pick the best smiles. Nokia acquired them, but they still have ongoing agreements with other companies, and so they've been supplying this technology to BlackBerry and HTC. And
that's interesting because there's a certain similarity to the features.
I'm trying to remember. I'm completely blanking on it right now, so I'll have to look it up. But maybe I'll do that right now and see if I can find it.
I used. I was on a trip to Colorado for a couple of days with my son. Took pictures only with my HTC One and the Galaxy S4. And I have to say, I was very pleased with the results. Both cameras are just excellent. I like Zoe's, and I would miss them.
What about indoors? What is the quality like?
You know,
I've got the name of the company here. Scalado, S-C-A-L-A-D-O. Huh. So there you go. They just
got a nice set of snapshots, Leo.
Yeah, from a camera phone.
Yeah, you have all these expensive cameras.
This is indoors. This is not bad. This is
the
airport.
That's indoors. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good.
So just picture. To go back to the phone, the cool thing about these stock Android versions is that they are actually, they feel a little faster.
Yes, they do.
And less cluttered and, you know, cleaner, simpler. It's basically, I think you're really getting the best deal. And it's up to you to pick the hardware now. You get the choice of the Nexus 4, the Galaxy S4, and the HTC One.
You know,
I've talked to our mobile guy, too, Kevin Toefel, and he said the same thing about the HTC One being great hardware, and the problem is when you get a lot of, like, whether it's Samsung or Motorola, they put all this stuff on there of their own to try and turn it into their own thing, and a lot of times it just craps it up and, you know, gets in the way of what you want to do.
Well, I'll give you an example of something that's telling. The Galaxy S4, normally the 16 gigabyte version, has 5 gigabytes free on the onboard storage with TouchWiz UI and all the S features.
Yeah.
Of course, you can expand with micro SD, but with the stock Android, it has 12 gigs.
Wow.
Free. So if that doesn't tell you something about, you know, the clutter and the uselessness of all these S features that Samsung keeps putting onto people, I mean, what does, right?
You know,
and I mean, do you really need to scroll with using just your eyes? I mean,
it doesn't even work properly. So
That stuff's never going to work.
Now, there are some issues. These are not Nexus phones. The updates will come from the manufacturers, not from Google.
So you'll always be behind.
So it won't be like a Nexus 4 where you have...
Always ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
And I have to point out that once these phones came out, the ROMs were very quickly available. In fact, I updated... I have a European Galaxy S4.
You changed your phone again?
I have the. I'm like Miriam. I have them all, my friend.
Yes, but you're using this one.
I like the Galaxy S4.
I thought you liked the HTC One.
I can't change the battery, and that's a real issue for me. And I have four Galaxy S4 batteries, so I don't care what battery life is because I just pop another one in. I always have one in my pocket.
Oh, that's what that is.
And I noticed the ROMs are out. So if I wanted to, I could kind of make this unlocked European version into a Google edition. But what I did, I think is even better, is somebody has put probably is illegal, I don't know, the camera and the gallery from the S4 stock edition or Google edition out. So you can download and install as an app. And I got rid of Samsung. Samsung's camera app is really crappy. And the Google app is much better. So it's faster. Yeah, go ahead and play with it. Turn it into a Russian phone again. Be my guest. He always... you're better than Brian Brushwood. You found money in my phone. Look at that. He's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
What is this crap on the back?
No, don't you think that's cool? It's a ninja pouch. So it's a little... you glue it on, and it's got a little fabric pouch, and you can put your driver's license, your credit card, a couple of bucks, mad money in there. And
it's like a kangaroo pouch.
Yeah, it's like a little kangaroo pouch. It's stretchy.
Your phone.
Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah.
And you glue it onto your phone?
Yeah, you glue it on your phone.
Okay.
That's pretty cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay until you said glue it onto your phone.
Well, it's 3M adhesive.
Oh, okay.
It's magic, Matthew.
It's magic. Anyway, I think that people should understand that when they get the Google Edition phones, there are real advantages. And I think Miriam, you hit the number one advantage, which is that Galaxy S4 really doesn't
locked.
Have much. Oh, here, I'll unlock it for you. Whoops.
No, it went off. For you.
I'll show you that. Well, it's watching your eyes. Apparently, you have soulless eyes.
I'm a dead man.
So does Leo rules.
It only recognizes my eyes. So, Miriam, would you recommend instead of buying... Well, now, remember, you're not going to get subsidy either. You're going to pay the full freight for these. $650 for the GS4.
It's interesting that the HTC One is cheaper than the Galaxy S4 and has more storage.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there are drawbacks that you touched upon. Personally, I don't think there are drawbacks. I think the wave of the future is a fully integrated device like Apple's been doing for a while, because you can then have polymer batteries that can be shaped into the shape of the chassis. You can get a thinner, stronger chassis because of it. I think Samsung is doing it wrong. But the interchangeable battery, you're going to say, oh my God. Well, listen, that's what USB pluggable batteries do, right? I mean,
I guess I could carry that around.
What's the deal? I carry one with me when I really know that I'm going to need one.
It's bigger and heavier.
Me too.
Yeah, well, it depends. They come in all sizes and shape. I have one that's the size of a credit card in footprint and about four credit cards thick or three credit cards thick. And it gives me about 1,000 milliamp hour.
Right.
So I can... You know, I can continue on for the rest of my day for a few hours.
Yeah, I got a Mophie. I got a Mophie case for the one, but
right. So you know, the point is there are options, and I think that
Leo, you need to do what Dave Morin did. Have a
I know I have one for the daytime
morning phone
and
then
the nighttime with his and what doesn't he had a bespoke application for his assistant
for his assistant. I have one of those as well.
Yes.
I mean, ultimately, I don't think that should stop people from buying a phone. Is what I'm saying. Like the removal battery thing is kind of a It's a relic from the old days. It's
Leo, you old relic.
You're a relic.
But I have to point out, the HTC is no thinner than the Galaxy S4.
No, but it's much better made. It's not.
It's beautiful. But that has nothing to do with the removable battery. Well, maybe it does. I guess you have to have a plastic back in order to pull off the...
How do you get a GSM card in the thing?
It's got a little slot on the side.
It's got a slot, just like the iPhone.
A slot.
Oh, the slot.
Yeah. See, it's so easy to pull the back off. I don't know. To me, neither the HTC One or the Galaxy S4 is the phone I've been waiting for.
What phone are you waiting for?
I maybe the Motorola X phone, which we should see next month.
Moto X?
What do you know about that one, Miriam?
Those are not the droids you're looking for.
Ah!
I'm not. I don't think it's going to be better than the... I really don't think anything is going to get much better than the HTC One this year, frankly.
And probably not from Motorola.
And certainly not from Motorola.
Even though Google now is in charge and is, you know, running the operation.
They have nothing to do with each other. I don't believe that.
I do believe they do have something to do with each other.
I don't.
I mentioned this before, but Guy Kawasaki, who is now repping Motorola, invited me to an event in a couple of weeks. At the Google campus. And I'm curious. I don't know what it's about.
You're going to get the phone.
It's kind of like a two-hour drive for you.
Look, they put a rainbow circle around the Motorola.
So it's better already.
Already, it's
right
prettier.
It's much better already.
Yeah. That's Guy Kawasaki's Apple
nod. I think we're going to see more stock Android devices, possibly. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something from Sony.
I think the Xperia looks great. I think that what's really interesting is there are cases on both sides. You could say a Google Experience phone is better. I don't know if Google is the be-all and end-all for user interface design, frankly. I think that there are those who say that the manufacturers have really made additions that make them distinct. The Galaxy S4 is a very different phone from the HTC One, like it or not. So I think what's good in the bottom line is that there's a lot of choice out there.
More choice.
Choice is great. Choice is great. And I think that, you know, people should pick what's best for them.
But it's hard for users to know. I get this call a lot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What should I get? HTC One, GS4. A lot of people, even in the know, in the tech industry, say, what should I get? And I don't necessarily feel as you do, Miriam, that the HTC One is head and shoulders above the rest. It's beautiful, yes. That's the kind of, when somebody says I'm an iPhone user, I say get the One.
Yes.
Right? Because that's an aesthetic decision.
I my biggest beef is that Samsung has incredible resources and has chosen to make a crappy looking junky plasticky.
Kind of with you on that.
That's what bugs me about it.
Yeah.
I think you've seen from like their Ativ 9 laptops that they can do beautiful aluminum clad devices and really put the effort into it, and they're not.
So why did
they do
that?
I don't understand why they choose not.
It's probably a different division doesn't care.
I don't think they care. I think you're
right,
John.
The other point I would make is that we end up putting these in cases anyway? So does it really matter what the phone looks like?
I don't.
Sure. In your case, talk about aesthetics. You have probably the ugliest looking piece of crap I've ever seen with that thing hanging off the back.
It's functional. And by the way, this is something that the one doesn't do, the little peekaboo.
Yeah, a little crappy little
window.
Case you got.
No, see, it's got a little peekaboo window that shows you the time and the notifications. Look at that.
Wow.
And then when I open it up, the phone turns on, but when it's closed, it's the phone. I think that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one doesn't do that because it's got to be a super AMOLED
display.
They got
moose heads on sale, by the way, for your house.
Really? Dynamite. Where?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Not the antique store. On the,
I have horns
and, you
on
know,
the garage.
If it's like the iPhone, if it's like the iPhone, it'll be beautiful and sexy and metallic, and people will buy a cheap rubber piece of crap and put it on their phone.
Exactly. So I think that while there are purists like you, Miriam, who just carry that one. You know why
he's
you could
got
do
two
that?
Because
you've
on
got
him,
you're going to have another phone in a month or two.
Exactly.
But somebody who's got to have that phone last for 2 years, they're going to put it in a case, and all that beautiful design is hidden.
Well, you know, that's their choice.
I carry the one around also, without a case, and it makes me very nervous. It makes me extremely nervous.
I think ultimately there are arguments. There are other arguments to be made about the HTC One versus the GS4, and some of them go down to the display quality and the camera quality. And there's not just about the industrial design and the materials used. I mean, I think HTC is really trying to push the envelope in terms of technology, and I don't think Samsung is. I think Samsung is just doing what they have to do, the bare essential minimum to, you know, carry on.
And they followed the Microsoft way of junking the phone up with about 800 features that are stupid.
You got it. And that's the biggest
deal.
Who
has the best camera?
It's not a problem with the stock version, right?
I would argue on who has the best camera. I think the 4-megapixel camera is interesting, but consistently I'm getting better shots in the Galaxy S4.
I think the low-light performance on the HTC One completely outperforms the Galaxy
S4. It does, but I don't take a lot of pictures in bars. And everywhere else, the Galaxy is great.
Which just proves to you that it depends on what your priorities are. Some people will like the Galaxy S4 camera far better. I agree that the amount of detail coming out of it is staggering. It's amazing. Yeah.
With the Google Experience,
essentially pinhole cameras.
They're tiny.
That are okay. They can take a functional picture. If you really want to take,
you saw those gorgeous pictures I took
at
Colorado.
I saw them on a little screen with backlit. I would like to see one blown up to 16 by 20 or something like that.
But the point is, I'm not going to. I'm going to look at them on a computer
screen.
Right,
that's because these are all snapshots. That's what these cameras do. They take snapshots like disposable cameras used to do. But it's crap at the end of the day. One of these days, you're going to take one of the greatest pictures you've ever taken in your life, and you say, ah, I wish I had taken that with an actual camera.
I will give you a completely different perspective, John. I got into photography through camera phones in the early 2000s. I was an early adopter of camera phones, and it taught me everything I know about photography. And now I use like the highest end DSLRs, etc. Because the restriction put upon me by using camera phones and the advantage of being able to upload to the internet anytime have, to me, far outweighed the carrying a big heavy camera around. And this is why, in fact, I still don't carry a big camera around.
That's a great
the
point.
The quality
Miriam.
Of these phones has gotten really, really good. I think we've gotten into point-and-shoot territory in terms of performance on some of these devices.
And even professional photographers will say the best camera is always the one you have with you. And the one you have with you is very rarely the giant thing that weighs 15 pounds. It's your phone. And so it captures things that you couldn't capture.
Yeah.
Well, that's very good. Apologies for the situation at hand. I admire that.
The other
and
argument.
Yes, it's true. Yeah. If you've got no camera and you have your phone and you take a picture with the phone, maybe a great shot. Yeah, if you got nothing else going on.
The other
argument. But to take the phone into the woods like Leo did here when he's got tons of nice cameras is nuts. That's the point.
I do. I have much better, much better cameras than this. And yet, I think one of the arguments is, and I've heard a lot of...
By the way, not all cameras weigh 15 pounds.
No. I have the OMD, the Olympus, that you like very much.
It's a nice
and it's
camera.
Light. It's a great camera. However, I think the argument is being made that the future of photography is not about glass or sensors or pickups. It's about software. And that... Yeah. Computational photography really is where everything's happening, and the key to this is you got a very, very powerful computer behind this crappy lens with that's always connected, and there's some real advantages to that. Things like the Zoe and the highlights show that you can do something with an HTC One you cannot do with a camera.
And then you'll see what Nook has done with the 808 PureView appear on Windows Phone with the EOS when it's released.
This is the 41 megapixel super sensor.
Right, and it's exactly what you said. It's computational photography. I mean, it opens up a whole new dimension of what you can do. And Matthew mentioned Nitro as well.
Yeah, Lytra I'm a little less excited about, but...
But just imagine when you have that kind of computational power in your phone.
Right.
Imagine, so you've taken a photo and it's focused on the wrong thing. You just switch the focus.
Yeah.
And that's, it's going to be a huge improvement.
I agree with both these guys. Is there another topic we can move to?
Yeah, we're going
to
move on. The other thing, one more thing I would point out, though.
John wants to disagree with something.
That the convenience of the fact that, because I took these with Android, they were immediately uploaded to Google Plus and to Dropbox. Mm. And I didn't have to worry about backup. I was actually able to share them before I even left. Google did some amazing things. This is an auto awesome where it did a GIF, an animated GIF out of the...
GIF or GIF?
Well, you notice I use both to hedge my bets on that, and I'll continue to do that, say it both ways.
GIF is what the guy who invented it calls
it. Who cares? He's an idiot.
What do you think?
He just invented it.
He can't be that much of an idiot.
Oh, anybody could have come up with GIF.
Graphics interchange format.
You know who gets to say? You and I get to say. You know why? Because when GIFs came out, you and I were the only people actually saying this stuff out loud. Everybody else was writing. You and I were on the radio, and we get to choose how things are pronounced. We do.
Yeah, GIF.
Yeah, GIF. It was a little reprise from the old Dvorak and Computer show.
I happen to have a tape of that show in my car.
Oh, I want it.
No, we need to. Both of us sound.
Hand puppets.
This is one of those streamers or something. It's a skimmer. We're both high-pitched. Hi, Leo. How you doing, John?
I can fix it. Yeah, it's okay. That's the problem with analog recording technology. But that we can fix it. We have the means. We have computational audio. Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. Did you read the New York Times article this week about audiobooks? How many actors now, the reading is the performance. And I have to say, I agree 100%. The quality of these audiobooks, especially the audiobooks from Audible.com, brings them to life. It's like you're listening to a movie in your head. I love Audible.com. I listen to books all the time. Currently listening to Great North Road, which is a Peter F. Hamilton sci-fi. You like Peter F. Hamilton? Our sci-fi fan? I love Peter F. Hamilton. It is the best. He is one of my favorite sci-fi writers. Not probably all that well-known, but boy, is he a craftsman. But it's not just sci-fi. I mean, we're talking history, biography, memoirs. We're talking mysteries. We're talking thrillers. Kids' books, young adult books. The final book in the Old Filth trilogy has just come out. I have no idea what this is. Jane Gardam, Old Filth, The Man in the Wooden Hat. But I'm sure there's somebody at home going, wow, it's out. I'm so excited. This is why Audible is great. It's the most amazing bookstore ever. 100,000 plus titles read by the best readers. And I'm telling you, right now, you can get two books absolutely free. We know that, you know, the first time you try audiobooks, you might be skeptical. I don't know. Am I ready for listening? Is it going to be as good as reading? So you got to try it. Jeffrey Rosen's new book, The Supreme Court, The Personalities and Rivalries That Defined America. See, I love this history. And, you know, I wasn't... It's like as you grow up, you don't have time to read anymore. But now you have time in the car commuting. You have time walking the dog or at the gym and... Audiobooks just make that time fly by. Did you see the Abe Lincoln movie, Lincoln? Was that amazing? Based on this one, Team of Rivals, Doris Kearns Goodwin's amazing book about Lincoln and his amazing team. Paul Theroux, who does Windows Weekly, is listening to this. 57 hours and 13 minutes, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. Wow. Grover Gardner, though, the narrator, is one of my favorite. Let me just play a little bit so you can hear Grover's voice. One of my favorite narrators. Here's the deal. Go to audible.com/twit2. Oh, I don't have Flash on here. I can't play it. I'm trying as hard as I can not to put Flash on my new MacBook.
Why?
Well, I'll talk about that in a second. Go to audible.com/twit2. There it is.
For many years after the war, tons of Nazi documents lay sealed in a large U.S. Army warehouse in Alexandria, Virginia. Our government showing no interest in even opening the packing cases.
Just pause that for a second. The way he reads that, it's conversation. You can listen to it, and you get the book. And I have to say, if you've not tried this, you've got to get these two free books. You'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's a subscription, two books a month. It also includes the daily audio edition of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. You pick. It's not the whole newspaper, obviously, but it's a really great way to get some news in there. And it's free for the first month. You can cancel anytime in the first 30 days, pay nothing, but these two books that you get will be yours to keep forever.
Get In the Garden of the Beasts.
I don't know that.
It's a hot book right now.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. What's it? Is it a novel?
It's about, no, it's a true story about a...
Love, Terror, and an American Family in Hitler's Brain?
Berlin.
Oh, Berlin.
Can't read cursive.
Or printing, apparently. Oh, I love Eric Larson. I read his Devil in the White City. He is one of my favorite authors. I will get this. Look and see. So this is what you do. You add it to your wish list. And when the time comes, you know, that you get your renewal on your subscription, or you're ready to buy some new books, there's all the list of books that I've got on my wish list. Quite a few, actually. Every time somebody tells me about a great book, I put it down in here. Audible.com/twit2. Huh? Matthew?
I want Christopher Walken to narrate pretty much everything.
Oh, I wish I could do a Christopher Walken. He should. I agree.
More cowbell.
More cowbell. Audible.com/twit2. Give it a try today. Two books waiting for you. Absolutely free. I haven't looked at my wish list in a while. I got 25 items.
You're falling behind.
I'm falling behind. I get two books a month, and I love it.
Have you considered reading for Audible?
I read I did.
This has been discussed a number of times.
Well, they asked. I read a little public domain short story called Little Golden Riding Hood. Apparently, they couldn't get the rights to Little Red.
Sounds kind of lewd.
Little Red Riding Hood.
It was a knockoff, basically.
Well, I think they wanted me to...
it was an audition.
No, they just wanted me to experience what it was like, because it took me very little time to do it. The True History of Little Golden Hood. This is it.
This is you?
Yeah, 95 cents.
95 cents.
It's short. It's 9 minutes.
It's 9 minutes?
I didn't have a lot of time. And they have asked me since to read books, but I don't. Who has time? I don't have time.
Why don't you read a few of my columns? That'd be a good little bit. We could sell those.
And then John C. Dvorak said,
no answer. He knocks louder.
Nobody. Turn this off. This is a horrible...
No, don't turn it off.
Horrible.
Don't turn it off.
Keep it playing.
And the door opens. Not a soul in the house.
It's not bad.
The old woman had risen
early
to sell...
I read it for kids. It's a kid's story. I'm sorry. I don't think this is my best work.
It's the only thing you've done.
I can do better, John. Give me another chance. When I retire.
What about you, John?
Oh, I can't. I can. I get about halfway through.
No, you got a producer who helps you with that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Oh, it's really, you know, it is challenging because
and also, I would start
you.
To get hammy if I got into it.
Well, you could hear how hammy I was.
You were that hammy.
It felt hammy to me.
You know, it could be.
I have it on my to read list. But New York Times apparently has a good article on the Sunday Times about actors who have started reading audiobooks, and it's a good living for them. And that's Audible primarily. Because they really are doing a
great
job.
Do they get
a
piece of the action?
I don't know how it works.
Well, they'd have to, or otherwise it wouldn't be a good living.
Well, for the hourly, you know, the amount of work you put into it hourly.
Well, you should know the number. What is it?
I didn't get paid. I did that one for free.
Well, that's not much of a living.
They did tell me. When they asked me to do a book, they told me how much they'd pay me. It seemed like it was okay. You know, it was like $50 an hour. But it wasn't enough for me to, like, give up my day job.
$50 an hour.
Something like that. I can't remember what the deal was.
I don't think an actor. Well, maybe a
no, but actors, believe me. That'd take
any most work. Of them are starving to death.
Google Plus, 2 years old this weekend.
Jeez.
Can you believe it's 2 years old?
Wow.
Time flies when you're not having fun on Google Plus.
I actually like Google Plus. I've come around too. A little bit. Like it?
I don't like it at all.
It's good.
It's good, Miriam. What don't you like about it? DeBoer?
I don't like this new thing that you're showing right here.
I love this new, the two column or three columns.
It's just
you have a
bunch of boring
screen.
Crap.
It's like a magazine.
It's not like, it's like a lousy magazine.
Well, you're not following the right people. You got to circle the right people.
I'm following a lot of people, and it's still a bunch
of duds.
I think it's
gorgeous. I really like it. And the engagement on it is very good.
Even our friend Mike.
Mike Elgin,
who's one of the better guys on this,
he
whole
knows
thing.
How to. He really knows how to.
I was
use this platform.
Scrolling through this thing, and he's got a picture of a crappy little movie of two people playing bocce ball. And I looked at this and said, "Mike, what is this?" And I'm thinking, "No, this
right,
whole thing is not for me."
You've actually pinpointed a problem because what happens, and this happens on all social media, and it happens really badly on Twitter, you follow somebody because of their content that's going to be good, but what's mixed in is their personal stuff. Everything's all mixed in. So you see, Mike, what we should be able to do is say, I want to follow Mike Elgin's professional posts and not his personal posts, something like that.
Actually, that would be good.
I actually enjoy, I'm going to disagree with you a bit, and it would be good if you could separate certain people.
It's amazing.
But I actually enjoy getting some of the personal stuff along with the professional stuff with most of the people I follow.
I think most people are like you. I think they get a kick out of some of the personal stuff, but I don't.
Like, I don't want too much, you know, if it's too personal, but a little bit, I don't mind.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say,
who came up with an idea, Leo?
No, we'll never get it.
Just like the one you, I'll let you finish in a minute, John.
Yeah.
You know, who came up with an idea just like you were describing was Bill Gross. I can't remember the name now.
Bill's a smart guy. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, he started one. I can't remember the name of it, and I don't think anybody used it. But that was one feature, was that you could follow just Leo talking about tech,
right,
or just Leo talking about photography or whatever.
Right.
And it was a good way of segmenting your stream.
Google has a lot of controls. There's sliders, there's circles, now there's communities. I think that they have gradually improved this to the point now, especially because of the new photo features, where I just love it. This is a can.
You know what I noticed?
Sucks.
Photography, like friends of mine who are photographers,
it's great for
they
photography.
Love it because it's beautiful presentation. There's a lot of photographers on there. There's a lot of groups, a lot of circles, a lot of whatever, and so if you're into that, it's a really great platform for that.
Two posts in a row. This is Marina Molnar's picture of the Potala Palace in Tibet.
Yeah, quite stunning.
Stunning image.
It could be on her blog, though.
This is from a Canon user's. This is from a Canon, but you see these together, right? One after the other. This is from a Canon user's community that I'm following. Another great image.
Oh, there's another winner. Yeah, and Natko's picture of a Coca-Cola.
Okay, I just want to point this out through glass. Has become a polluting factor, I have to say.
That makes it so much better.
Yeah. I wish people wouldn't take pictures with Google Glass, especially of garbage. But a lot of beautiful images and a lot of great shares.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And then, okay, here's another tip. Go to the What's Hot section, and you can see what people are really engaging with.
Oh, yeah.
Look at number one, George Kozoy. I'm watching Leo Laporte on Twitter, and the subject of cursive writing came up.
And you can't read that, can you?
I can read it. Does anybody write cursive anymore? This guy's made a great post.
That is a fantastic post. I have never seen anything so outstanding as this post.
Can you send me a link to this post?
Seriously.
John, do you use Twitter? Do you use anything?
Yes, I use Twitter.
Anything?
Yeah.
What
and
else?
I block everyone who reposts Foursquare. I see it. Boom. They're done. Why do I care about somebody eating McDonald's hamburgers? I only post badges.
Is that okay?
I kind of feel the same way as John.
I think I've already thrown you off because of your Foursquare. Foursquare, I've checked in at the
No, I don't
local
do all the check-ins.
I just checked in when
I get a badge, like crunked.
Oh, I got a badge.
Crunked.
Done.
I'm pretty proud of that one.
Miriam was going to say something.
Sorry, Miriam.
I was just going to say that I'm with John on this one.
Yay.
I just never really got into Foursquare. I have an account, but I don't.
You should be very happy because Foursquare is already backing down, and now they say, well, we're just going to be a recommend. They basically want to be Yelp. A recommendation engine.
Huh.
I actually think their recommendations are pretty good. I'm
there's the
you know,
value
I tried to
badge.
Use the badges and I tried to use the check-ins and tried to care whether I was mayor of something. But the thing I've found the most useful is when I go somewhere, I will look and see what tips they have. And oftentimes they're pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, for the chat room, yes, I stopped following Woz. Because even
he does Foursquare check-ins. Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
I'm at home. I'm in the bathroom. I'm taking a crap. I'm taking a pee. I'm over here in the bedroom. I'm going to bed. Good night. I mean, Foursquare.
But that's Steve Wozniak, the guy who invented personal computing practically.
I don't care when he goes to the toilet.
Okay. Okay. By the way, one advantage of cursive handwriting, Odd Brain pointed this out in our chat room, NSA can't read it.
Hey, that's a good.
Now you're talking.
We should all start using cursive. It would drive them nuts. There'd be a government report next year of 43 wiretaps, 4 were in cursive.
No. You know what's going to happen if we start writing cursive and post pictures of it? They're going to hire the people from the post office who decipher addresses.
Those guys are good.
Entire job.
Those guys are good.
Yes.
Isn't that a dying breed, though?
I think it is.
It's like the chicken sex source.
Does anybody use the post office anymore?
That's funny. I use the post office a lot.
You're more protected.
People hate on the post office for the only reason is it's the only thing that's protected by government law that you can't start snooping in post office.
Right.
But if you get a Federal Express, they can open it up.
Right.
UPS, the post office is the last safe place you can communicate.
But that's assuming you even get the mail in the first place.
You get it. You're in Canada. The Canadians have got a different problem.
No, Miriam's in San Francisco.
I'm in San Francisco.
This is bull crap. This is a meme that's bogus. You get your mail. I get plenty of mail.
They lost my rent check the other day.
Oh, that's not good.
That's what he says.
Yeah, they lost my
rent. I like the old lost rent check. Dog ate it.
Yeah.
Now, you're just scrolling through this useless. Look at this.
Animated GIFs. God bless them.
Look at this.
Evolution of the human being. That's a great animated GIF. GIF.
Whatever.
Bleep. It's terrible.
People are laughing. They're enjoying. They're having fun.
What's your take on this versus, say, Flipboard then? Because for me, this is kind of... I stopped using Google Reader to circle back to what we started talking about early on because, I mean... I really enjoy a good presentation, and I never felt like Google Reader was giving me that.
That's true.
I actually like to read the native websites, for example, you know,
and
Gadget. But I think with Flipboard, I find the presentation is really appealing, even though it's pulling content from various locations. How do you
think Google Reader could have been Flipboard? You know, if they had cared about, like, they had all the tools, they could have just made it nicer looking. They could have had a great mobile
app. It's a different philosophy.
Why did they not do that?
It's a different philosophy. Dave Weiner pointed this out, of all things, a guy who invented RSS. People treat Google Reader like a email inbox, right? Here's all the new articles from all the sources I follow. Now I got to go through them one by one. And Dave even said, you know what? That's not how people consume information anymore.
It's not.
They consume it as a river, which they dip into. They don't have to read. They don't have to get to inbox zero because nobody wants to have to do that.
And that's actually why I stopped using Reader and I started using Twitter instead. I have Twitter lists that I came up with that basically duplicate all the things I was getting through Google Reader, or almost all of them. And it makes so much – it's such a big difference using a tool where people are making recommendations to you about things to read instead of an automated feed of stuff coming – punched out at a certain time of the day.
And all Flipboard is just a nice presentation of those Twitter lists, really.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing that Flipboard is missing, which is why I use Prismatic, and I've experimented with Zeit and pretty much News 360, pretty much everything that comes out, I think Flipboard is missing the opportunity to really do smart recommendations. I think that's the next sort of frontier in that type of, you know, news recommendation technology or whatever, is to get good at showing me things I haven't already said I'm interested in.
Do you have a favorite among those social news readers like Prismatic?
Prismatic is my current favorite. They have done the best job, or are doing the best job, I think, of doing smart recommendations, which is really, really, really hard. I mean, if you talk to Brad Cross, the founder, who's a data scientist, that stuff is just really, really hard. And so they're not perfect, but... You know, I think they're one of the best out there.
Yeah, I check a number of, obviously, in my business, a number of news sources every morning, and Prismatic is one of them. TechMeme is still a big starting point, I have to say.
Yeah, me too.
What Prismatic surfaces is kind of the unexpected stuff. TechMeme gives you the obvious. Like, if you want to know what happened last night, you go to TechMeme.
Right.
But,
and Prismatic, that's what I'm looking for, is that kind of serendipity factor where you... You don't. So I already know all of the sources that are going to show up on TechMeme, but Prismatic gives you a little something different. And sometimes it's not something you want.
Well, here's a perfect example.
Sometimes it is.
I'm looking at my Prismatic. Two articles right in the top. Lady Gaga amends the national anthem at the Pride Parade in New York City to "Land of the Free, Home of the Gay." Love that. And then Dwight Howard offered free chicken fingers for life if he signs with the Mavs.
You know, you can't find better news than this.
That's the news I'm looking for.
This is where it's at.
Free chicken fingers for life.
That's
the
astonishing.
Mind
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, there's a lot of good news here.
How a cloud score is calculated.
Uh-huh.
How to use group video.
John, what do you use?
I actually have a couple of... Well, yeah.
What do you use?
Did you hand,
it's called
you
a newspaper.
Your own,
no, I actually do have a newspaper.
His butler irons it every morning so he doesn't get ink on his fingers.
Exactly.
And he just reads that. It's the Financial Times of London, and he loves that.
I have some proprietary stuff I look at.
What does that mean?
It's just some things people generally don't see. Yeah, I have some stuff that I...
So you hand-coded a newsreader?
Yeah.
Wow.
In Notepad.
Yeah, Notepad.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Instagram under attack from fruit-wielding spammers.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Fruit.
So, that exploded.
It could be worse. I mean, it is Pride weekend. Happy Pride, everyone. So maybe the fruit thing connection is right
hey,
there.
Fruit,
right?
Well,
he said it.
I didn't make
it was an all.
What's your email so we can the complainers can
fruit diet spammer.
But it happened so quickly.
And like my, and Om and Giga Om, Om Malik yeah, got bit.
Yeah, my stream was just all fruit basically.
You got it too, Matthew?
No, I did not get fruited or whatever the term is.
Fruited.
I need
and
to
another
this
victim
now
of the fruiting.
The I didn't see any fruit either. Like, I didn't see any fruit either, but...
I'm going to look right
Kevin
now.
Marks, who's on here often, he got fruited.
Did he?
Dixon, yeah.
So it sounds like they went after big names. Now, here's the real story, I think, is different than the story that I saw. The story I saw was, oh, my God, somebody has hacked Instagram, is posting pictures of fruit in Om and Kevin's stream, promoting this fruit, all fruit diet. Instagram said, yeah, yeah, we got it. We've got those few people who got bit, and I don't know how many it is. We're going to reset their passwords. We're deleting all pictures of fruit from Instagram.
So Matt Buchanan is one of them. See?
Look, yeah, it was well-known mm-hmm people.
Yep, yep.
So, but I think the bigger story is how the hell did it happen?
Yeah, we haven't really figured that out. I mean, Om said there was a link that went to a BBC story, but the link was hijacked or something. I couldn't figure out the exact details, but it worked pretty well.
It doesn't. It sounds to me more like they were targeting because they got big name journalists,
mm-hmm,
people who are very active and well known in social media. If it had been just a link, it would have been kind of more random, right?
I think if they were doing high profile journalists, you know, I for sure would have been. So.
Well, I have to point out that I wasn't targeted either, Matthew. If you search for hashtag miracle, you will quickly find a lot of the fruity pictures, although they're being deleted as we speak.
Don't click on anything.
It's unfortunate.
There are a lot of repetitive photos.
Yeah. Go ahead, Miriam.
I said it's unfortunate because they're very pretty, a lot of them.
They're actually
they're
lovely
pictures
photos.
Of
they look like stock photos to me.
Well, I don't think this fruit diet company actually went out and, you know, had custom made photos.
Commissioned photos.
Yeah. Probably a lot of stock photos. So we don't know what my concern, and this comes from the fact that Instagram's owned by Facebook, which has not shown itself to be pretty any good at this stuff, is that it's not that these people did something, but that in mm-hmm fact the database has been corrupted or somehow hacked. Instagram said a small portion of our users experienced a spam incident where unwanted photos were posted from their accounts.
It's the NSA.
There
they even redirected the URLs. They rewrote the URLs of your profile.
Yeah, see, it strikes me that really there's a larger security issue here, that Instagram was compromised. But I don't know.
Well, at least they did it in a very humorous way.
Yeah, you know, for spam, it wasn't that bad.
You'd expect them to actually use pictures of spam.
Well, wait till the spam diet comes out. Exactly. Then let's see. I'm going to see if I am getting...
Do not have the Costco pulled pork.
What?
Why not, John?
Okay. People want me to always talk about stuff.
Is it bad?
Oh, it's terrible.
You know, it's not the first thing I would want to try.
I've been going through the...
they sell it in a big plastic bag.
I'm trying to get through all the... To compare. I have to reset my pulled pork, so I have to see if anyone makes a good...
test other people's... Why are you resetting your pulled pork?
I just want to make sure that no one's doing a better pulled pork than
yours is still king.
Yeah, yeah.
But someday you'll be able to print it with a 3D printer.
Yeah, there you go.
Pulled pork.
Okay, we got somebody in the chat room that says they make a great pulled pork, so we got to...
You know who made great pulled pork? Ever hear Paula Deen?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
I don't think so.
No?
It's just butter. It's basically half
just butter.
Butter and ho-hos. With a little bit of pork. Our show today brought to you by Sumall. This is... you've been using this, Chad, did you say?
Oh, my gosh. I've been loving it.
Our good friend, Dane Atkinson, who created Squarespace, has created this to bring business intelligence, the very sophisticated data analysis that big business has access to everybody. So we've all got data that we might want to analyze from Google, Twitter, YouTube, PayPal, Amazon, Facebook. If you're, well, for instance, for us, we sold T-shirts. We want to see, how did that campaign work? Did any of our social media efforts work? Was there a tie-in to the increase in sales when we mentioned it on the air? Things like that. Not easy to get all that stuff together. SumAll makes it possible. Connecting key data to give you graphs, insights, information from your social, your commerce, payments, website traffic. They keep adding new sites. They just added MailChimp, Google+, AdSense, SendGrid, Basecamp, Bitly, WordPress, Constant Contact. You know, I'll give you a good example. A lot of us have Bitly accounts to kind of, you probably do this, to track when people click a link, that a shortened link that you
also
put in your
Twitter. MailChimp.
Yeah. So you can see that graph, but what you don't see is, well, how did the Bitly traffic correspond to my mention on Twitter or whatever? Now with SumAll.com, you go to one place, you get these great graphs, this great analysis. Best of all, it's in beta. It's free. Free, free, free. Not freemium free. Free. SumAll. SumAll.com. They've just added an export and spreadsheet view so you can take projections and information, put them into email. In fact, they're always adding new features. They just passed, listen to this, 500 billion social impressions tracked. They've been growing fast, 30% in the last few weeks. They're on a tear right now. And then, frankly, they're the only ones that are giving real people access to business intelligence in the kind of way that you can look at this and truly use it. What are you tracking, Chad? Are you tracking Minecraft?
Or? So right now, this is the OMG Craft website, and so I can track visits. And
that's Google Analytics, probably, right?
Yes. So this is plugged in through Google Analytics, and I can also see, like, well, did that have any? If I got lots of hits on my website, did that have any effect on my subscribers? And you can kind of see, yes, there is
direct
right here
correlation. Yep.
If I wanted to, I could say, well, you know what? This was associated with a campaign. So let me go ahead and add a note that this was, you know, with the fifth episode or whatever.
You posted a tweet and a couple of Google Plus posts or whatever.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right. And then I can even say, you know what? I really would like to compare this with another week. So I can click the compare button, and then I actually get, I can overlap my grids. Here we go. Let's move that one out of the way there. And you can do that against all of the things that you, like, I'm checking all of my fans, of course, and this one was pulled not from Google Analytics, so it's checking, it's pulling. So I only started my poll on May, so you can only see back to May. But if I had signed up earlier, I could compare one week versus another and just overlay it on top of each other.
This is really easy to use. I want you to try it for free. You don't need to give them a credit card or anything, because it's free. Your name, your email, and a password. That's all you'll have to give them to create a free account. Then start connecting up your social networks and start just analyzing. And I, you know, it's hard to describe the value of this until you do it. And then you realize what you can see. Very powerful. I think, John, you should enter in your pulled pork analytics into this and keep track of pulled pork from around the world. And, you know, it'd really give you some insight. It's like an executive pulled pork dashboard.
Yeah.
I think you need it. SumAll, people, don't forget the name. Just try it. This, you know, next time you got a little downtime, SumAll.com. Allow some time, because once you start playing with it, it's hard to stop. It's so fascinating. SumAll.com. Miriam, do you know anything about the next iPhone?
No.
Nobody does.
No.
I mean, Tim Cook said last year that at All Things D, they're going to double down on secrecy, and I think they have.
Yeah, or either that or they're going to discontinue the product.
Put it in a watch.
It
would be so...
Dick Tracy watch.
It would be so cool for Apple to do something like...
That would be terrible.
It feels like they're on a kind of very steady cadence, right? Left, right, left, right. And that you just kind of... It's very predictable.
iOS 7
was not... I'm not impressed, but yet we'll see when it comes out.
You don't like the tube thing. I
don't like that at all. I think it's ugly.
I think it's going to be a killer. I'm going to get one.
Okay, so there you go. But anyway, pretty much that's it, right? Okay, it's an iPhone 5S. Right. And it's going to have iOS 7. It's not going to have a fingerprint reader. There's not going to be a watch. It's not going
to... It is a watch.
I want Apple to blow my freaking mind. Please.
I think the Mac Pro did that.
Well, it blew something.
Blew a fuse.
Jeez. What do you think? You're going to run out and buy that $5,000 garbage can?
I don't need it, but I think that...
No one needs it.
I think that they've pushed forward with the next generation of, desktop workstation level of computing.
No, I think it's not.
Mind-blowing is over.
That's what I think. I think Apple's lost its mind-blowing capability.
Yeah.
I fear that. That's why I'm desperate for them to do it. And I thought, you know, okay.
How about a TV?
You know, it's interesting because you're right in the sense of what Phil Schiller said. Innovate, can't innovate my ass. Look at our Mac Pro. But this is not, in my opinion, what professionals want. They wanted a cheese grater that had the latest chips in it. They don't care if it looks like
that's, that's not progress. Look, when the MacBook Air came out, it changed everything. And now do we care that we have no ability to update the RAM or the storage or anything? No.
But that's because we're amateur.
Times have changed. 2 years from now. I mean,
you think pros will do that?
Yeah, of course they will. They already do. I mean, if you're really serious about video editing, you're not going to last for 4 years with a machine.
I agree with him, 100%.
You know,
it's
though.
It's her, by the way, John. Yeah. Sorry.
He keeps getting the wrong pronoun. That's all right.
That's okay.
But I think that this is a great home theater PC for people with more money than sense.
I don't think it's a home theater PC.
Really,
at all.
You think the pros will
look? It's the next logical thing. Like you're going to get this entire ecosystem, which is what Apple wants, of these cylinders made by third parties, like OWC, that plug into the Thunderbolt 2 ports and contain drive arrays.
It'll
and
stack.
Contain mini PCIe expansion, so you can actually put cards for your data acquisition in your lab or whatever. I mean, that's the wave of the future. You're wasting all this material and this weight and this complexity with a case that can accommodate hard drives and expansion when all you really need is that thing.
I agree with Miriam.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, we're going to look back at this thing as a major milestone. It's going to be like, of course you do computing that way for the desktop.
My mind was blown and I didn't even know it.
You're just still skeptical of this thing, for
well,
sure.
Well, I feel like it's going to be expensive. It's not upgradable.
I don't think it's going to be 5K.
We don't know, obviously.
You're paying for the electronics. You're not paying for a lot of aluminum here anymore.
No, in fact, this aluminum extrusion is not very expensive, I've been told.
I'm guessing this thing's going to be at least 4, and if it's 49, it wouldn't surprise me.
I think it's
loaded.
I think so, 2.5 entry.
2.5, I'd buy it immediately. There is no entry. There's not, I mean.
No, there's a different, there's entry. There's,
no, there's
going to
be different video cards available for it. There's going to be different storage options.
The cards are soldered on.
Right, you can get it with one processor, I believe.
Exactly. And different amounts of RAM.
So it'll be like
a few things that can be BTO'd, as it were.
Right. All right. The other problem, of course, is you've got to get vendors to come along with Thunderbolt 2. They didn't really embrace Thunderbolt 1.
It's starting a little bit now.
Okay. Yeah. Took 3 years.
People are slow. Look how long it took for USB to take off.
Right.
It didn't take long at all.
Well, I mean, the original iMac was launched at what, 98?
We still use floppies on the Mac. For a long time, yeah.
Yeah, the Mac.
Well, the Mac started USB for everyone. And it took, what, 2 or 3 years before we started seeing a pretty good pickup in terms of USB ports on devices.
What happened to FireWire?
Well, FireWire, you know, same thing. It took a little while before it took off.
And then it died.
Because Apple killed it.
Yeah. Which doesn't really encourage vendors to run and make Thunderbolt gear. I guess knowing that the Mac Pro is coming, and maybe one of the reasons Apple
there's a big difference
with
Thunderbolt compared to any previous interfaces. Thunderbolt is PCIe over a serial connection. What it means is that you can have an external box with a bunch of cards in it hooked up to this thing. You can have 2 video cards in an external box hooked up to this Thunderbolt port, and now you have brand new video cards.
All right. I feel better. Maybe my mind has just not, I was blown and it's just I'm not getting the information in my cerebral cortex yet.
I liked your version of it with the
yeah, we had one with gaffer's tape.
It looks just like one.
We must have needed the gaffer's tape. It's behind me? Oh, there it is, John. Steve Jobs is showing it right now on the stage behind us.
So he is.
Yeah, in his trademark T-shirt. T-Mobile's, there you go. There's a close-up for those of you watching on video. The rest of you just will have to imagine a beautiful aluminum cylinder with an Apple logo on it. T-Mobile sends out press invites for a July 10th event, teasing its boldest moves yet.
I didn't get one.
I bet Miriam did.
I did.
Where's this event?
New York. Oh.
New York.
You going?
We have editors in New York, so I'll
you don't need to go.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Xperia Z for T-Mobile?
Ooh, I like the Z. The Z's big, right? It's like 5.5 inches?
Five.
Five.
I don't know.
Oh, that's not the big...
Of ZU, yeah.
The ZU. I'm thinking of the Ultra.
The Ultra, yeah.
That's the one I want. I like phablets.
Maybe that's what it is, for all we know, right? I mean,
that's a 6.5-inch screen.
Don't say phablet.
Yeah, don't say.
I coined the name phablet. You're telling me?
Did
I,
you?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
I like the guy who invented GIF. I get to say phablet.
Okay, just you.
Okay, just
what
you.
Do you only say? Phablet.
Phablet.
I just don't say it.
I don't say it either. It's just a large phone.
Big
whatever.
Phones, small phones. Yeah.
I mean, have you seen the Galaxy Mega? That thing
unnecessary
is insanely
word.
Huge.
How big is the Mega?
It's 6.3, and it's insanely huge. Like if you see it in person, you'll go like. You know how you felt the first time you saw the Galaxy Note a few years ago?
Yeah.
You're like, this is insane. And it's exactly how it feels like. But now, look, everybody's got a Galaxy Note, pretty much.
Well, I thought the Note 2 was fabulous. It was my favorite phone.
It is fabulous.
Phone. Yeah.
But the point is that now we don't even question it, right? Like, we see a 5-inch phone fabulous. Like the Galaxy
right.
S4. And
nobody
it's like,
laughs
whatever.
At me anymore when I hold it to my head.
Do you remember when the original Evo came out with 4.3 inches? Everybody's like, oh,
dude,
my God, the thing is massive.
It did right? feel big, didn't it? It's funny. Now it's not.
Right.
It's just standard.
Right? If you find one right now, put it next to a Galaxy S4, and you'll be amazed at how small it looks.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
But I actually noticed a sort of backlash against some of the big phones, particularly some friends. I've noticed particularly women friends
users?
And, well, just the inability to do things on the phone because it's so freaking huge and your hand doesn't reach to things.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some smaller flagships. There's rumors of an HTC that's going to basically be like the One, but with 4.3 inches.
I like phones that make me look slim.
Somehow we got back to phones.
I like phones. You don't like a phones?
No,
phones
like
is a good. This is the Galaxy Mega weighs 7 ounces. The Z is a little heavier at 7.5 ounces.
Too heavy.
But it's really thin. 7 millimeters thick. Just amazing. So have you played with this Mega?
I played with the Mega. I haven't played with ZU.
The Ultra, the ZU. And what do you think of Xperia phones in general? It seems that Sony's doing some interesting things.
I think they're certainly putting a bit of effort into design and specs. But, you know, they always seem to miss the mark in some way or another. So my mind is still not completely made up. I think the Z is very good, so hopefully the ZU will follow in those footsteps, yeah.
And with any luck, T-Mobile will be announcing something along those lines on July 10th.
We can only hope.
I'm rooting for
that. Boldest move yet.
Yeah, that doesn't really say much, does it? Moves, plural, by the way.
Yeah, boldest moves. So they're going to zig
most
and
desperate
zag.
Move yet.
I want them to do well. I like T-Mobile. I want them to do
I
well.
Use T-Mobile. I use that $30 a month plan.
Yeah, there's a 30. If you can only get it online.
Yep.
It's very limited minutes. What is it, 100 minutes?
100 minutes of talk, unlimited data, unlimited text.
For $30.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the modern plan because nobody talks anymore.
I don't talk.
Yeah. I just text.
Unlimited. In fact, the unlimited data, even though they'll ratchet you down in speed,
they
keep you at 4G for 5 gigabytes.
Yeah, so
which I've never gone over that.
Yeah.
HSPA. I actually get irritated when people call me on my phone now.
Yeah, I don't want to talk. Text
me.
Yeah,
I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you?
Texting is just asynchronous enough. It's still more real time than emailing, but it's still not quite synchronous, so I don't have to respond
right
now.
We'll tell you this. People who want to, first you need an unlocked phone. You need to get a little card from them. It costs $1. And then you get this $30 plan. And the challenge is finding the plan.
Yeah, it's buried on their online site.
It's buried.
Yeah. They don't want anybody to know about it.
Well,
no, of course not.
But it's why offer it, though, if you don't want anybody to use it?
I don't know why they even have it. I think it's, who knows. Anyway,
it's like
deal.
An Easter egg.
Good deal.
This is a T-Mobile as well, and I get great HSPA+. But the problem is coverage is not universal. You'll go places where it's not good. And you just want to look at my pouch. You want to look into my pouch?
I'm not really interested in your pouch.
That's a nice pouch.
Yeah, I got to go if we're going in that direction.
All right. I'll let you go. Hey, I thank everybody for being here. It was really good to have you our friend Matthew Ingram from his cabin on the lake. What province are you in?
Ontario.
That's where
we're
Are you on the on. Big lake?
No.
The little lake.
The Ontario people just exploit the poor folks from Alberta.
What does that mean?
It's a fact.
What?
All the money's in Alberta. All the money. You guys in Ontario just steal the money from the Midwest and the Western provinces.
Whoa.
Yep.
We need a whole show.
Everybody knows this, by the way.
No one knows what the hell you're talking about.
The Canadians do.
Is it
true? He's actually got a point. He has a point.
Oh, all right. There you go. Well, enjoy your cabin on the lake. I hope there's nobody in the basement. Matthew Ingram writes for Giga Ohm and does a great, damn great job. So nice to talk to you again, Matthew.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks also to our newbie, Miriam Joar. So good to have you on, Miriam. I hope you'll come back many times.
I'd love to. Thanks for having me, Leo.
Really, really wonderful. Engadget.com, you can read Miriam's mobile reviews. And as you can tell, when we talked about the phones, I mean, not only does she have very clear opinions, but I think well-justified opinions, even though we may slightly disagree.
I didn't see any disagreement.
You're I go back and forth on the one. I carry both.
She's HTC One.
I can't decide. It's like the GS4, the HTC One. That's why I'm hoping that something, a third party will come along and make me love it. Maybe the
it's
Xperia.
Pretty decadent to have all these
maybe
phones.
The Motorola. It's my job. That's, isn't that
iPhone
cool?
6.
My job.
You think the iPhone 6 will do it? I'd love it.
It'll blow your mind.
I'd love it. I hope so.
I'm going for the iPhone 6.
John C. Dvorak.
3D printer built in.
Will it have a 3D printer? Can it print pizza and bacon? Actually, a small phone, it wouldn't do pizza, but a bacon would be fine. A little strip of bacon comes out of the back of the phone.
Yeah.
Right out of the USB.
Come right out of the pouch.
Yeah. You know what? I expect in my lifetime to have a bacon printer.
Bacon.
There's a million jokes there, and I'm not going to any of them. Forget it. I'm done.
Wrong with bacon.
NoAgendaShow.com. Check it out.
NoAgendaShow.com.
Dvorak.org/blog.
There you go. ChannelDvorak.com. Thank you for joining us. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC on twit.tv. I love it if you watch live. You can see we respond to the chat room. We mock you. We steal your lines.
Oh, yeah. The lines are sometimes
basically, the chat room are my writers.
Yeah. Well, they do good work.
And I never credit
them.
In the hall.
Most chat rooms are crap. This is one of the better ones.
Best chat room. You know what? This chat room's been going.
Because you throw people out left and right.
It has never stopped since 1991, this chat room has been going. No, I can't. You know that.
Yeah, they're always yakking away.
Because when we started doing Dvorak on computers in 91, IRC.
There's no, even when there's no show on,
they're
still
always chatting. It is the longest running chat room in the history of mankind. I want to acknowledge that. It's just really fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of
sick,
actually.
Oh, I completely forgot all of the extra stuff that I'm supposed to do. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Miriam and Matthew go. We appreciate your being here. John, if you want to play with my phone and my pouch, you keep going. Meanwhile, let's check in with Tom Merritt and see what's coming up on the week ahead. Tom?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at what we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Not a lot going on because of Independence Day holiday here in the United States. Today, Google removes all the blogger sites that monetize adult content, so check your blog. Also, Sprint killed off the iDEN network, as you know. Tomorrow, Monday, July 1st, iFixit begins iLiberation Week. I think they're just calling it Liberation Week, but they're going to give away 1,776 iPhone Liberation Kits, so you might want to get in on that. Also tomorrow, the big day, the Google Reader shuts down, so if you haven't exported your Google Reader stuff, you might want to get on that. And then, of course, Thursday, July 4th, Independence Day, and that is a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Tom. We're going to pretty much shut down the operation on Thursday.
What happened to his hair?
What? Did his hair look strange?
Yeah, I thought so.
Maybe he was wearing a Russian hat.
It's like a widow's peak or something. This doesn't look right. There you go.
He has hat hair.
Yes, the hat.
Yes, the hat is back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I have a whole radio transmitter kit in this hat.
That doesn't surprise me.
Putin gave it to me.
Where'd you get that hat?
A lovely damsel from the Ukraine stopped by and gave it to me last week. And I have not taken it off since.
It's hard to say.
She swears that it's
not sable.
That's not Sable.
No.
It's fleece. Let us see, my friends, if you missed a single thing on Twit this week, you might have missed some very interesting content. Did you know that? Let's take a look.
How sad.
On Twit. Frame rate.
Sony and Disney will stream movies for a fee on the internet the same day they appear in theaters as a test in South Korea.
Oh.
Windows Weekly.
Paul, do you want to do it? Actually, but this is Windows with. You go for it. I'll do it like this.
Don't snore.
Nobody ever sees this part. That's the thing.
NSFW.
But you don't really know me. And in my culture don't control me, so don't you pigeonhole me, cause my phase are set to stun. Oh,
Twit, I got your Bitcoin right here.
Yeah, baby.
Thanks to the great Jim Cutler, our voiceover guy, our booth announcer here at the Twit Brick House. We couldn't do it without you, Jim. And he makes up those one-liners at the end, and they're just great. Who was that at the end? She was using a typewriter for percussion.
It was Miriam. Oh, I forget her last name.
She was great.
Yeah.
What a beautiful voice.
NSFW last Tuesday.
That was
in
Tuesday's
studio.
NSFW. Yes. She sang for us. Miriam Call. She's from Juneau, Alaska. And apparently she travels with a mechanical typewriter. It's cheaper than a drummer.
Is that right?
Well, listen, she's...
I thought it was expensive.
Well, once you got one.
By the way, now's the time for people out there to start collecting mechanical typewriters.
There is a very brisk market in refurbished mechanical typewriters.
Well, I don't mean one that you can actually use.
What? Because people aren't learning cursive, they need a mechanical typewriter?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I want to buy one.
Do we have one here?
Yeah, we have one in the front lobby.
Why would anybody defend cursive?
I don't know.
I want a restored typewriter. Oh, you know what? The show's not over until I say one key phrase.
Yes, say it.
Go Giants?
No.
Another Twit is in the can. Amazing. Thank you, everybody. Take care. So I, you know, whoever sent me these ET games didn't send any note, but they sent me some punch cards. So maybe we can decipher these and know.
Let's see.
good thing we kept that mainframe around.
Yeah, let's run this through the IBM system 70.
The card sorter, it's over in the corner.
Yeah. Oh, this one's been spindled.
Oh gosh.
No, you're kidding.
We'll never be able to.
You've mixed them up, Leo. Which one goes where?
That was folded. This was mutilated.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.